United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Jim Baker resigned.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 10th of January. Time is still moving just as fast in 2014 as it did in 2013, but we're here. And today is Open Mic Friday. The number is 347-945-5229. And Mark Mangi's in studio with me. He's even got his thermos of coffee over here.
It's my wife's thermos of coffee, but it's still good coffee. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good.
And who's this nice lady sitting over here to my left?
Have you not met Annie?
No, I met Annie the last time.
Okay.
A couple weeks
just
ago when I was
sure.
Here.
That's Annie.
Hi.
She goes back to school on Monday, so she gets to, like, blow the cuckoo's nest and leave us and not come back for a little while.
Well,
I'm going to miss her with a little bleeding heart.
Yeah, yeah.
My little bleeding heart liberal.
I know. We all have to have one in our life.
You guys got Diva.
Yeah.
Diva's my best girlfriend now. Last time I talked to her, we got along just fine.
Diva's having a problem. She can't find a dress still. And I keep on telling her to shop her closet. She's not listening to me. And, you know, I don't know why people don't listen to me. I shop the closet. I'm getting to the place now where I'm hoping to lose more weight so that I will not only be shopping the closet, but cutting the closet into new clothes.
I haven't seen you. You know, you and I haven't talked for a while. We saw each other at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
But other than that, I haven't seen you since before Christmas. And
No. You saw me my birthday.
Yeah, that was at the party.
Damn, that was right after Christmas.
Yeah, but we didn't sit and talk because
no.
We were, you know, you were.
No. Did you have any, is there any more biscotti left at your house?
You know what? I don't know whether we do or not.
You know, I'll
have to ask Ginger.
I was supposed to put in a request. I know I sent for needles, but I should have sent for biscotti and something else.
I mean, I've been scarfing down the cookies.
Oh, man. Because my cookies are gone.
So did you have a good Christmas?
I had a great Christmas. I really did.
How's your mom?
My mom's doing good. She had a great
Christmas.
She's
a sweetheart. I love your
mom.
Mom
had a good Christmas?
Mom had a good Christmas.
That's good.
Mom always has a good Christmas.
She likes the holidays?
Yeah, but we don't decorate or anything. It's just you and I, and I'm really bad. You know, if it goes up, it never comes down.
Yeah.
But I think next year will be my 50th year.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm probably going to go, you know, I either do none or go way over the top. So I think this is, you know, this year is going to be the way over the top year in everything that I do.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas next year. I already figured it out. When you told me you don't put a tree up, I thought, I know what I'm getting for Christmas.
I don't put a tree up, but next year is going to be my over the top year. 2014 is a year that is over the top.
I'll remember that. I'm gonna go over the top. I'm gonna bake you a giant birthday cake.
Make sure it's healthy.
What a healthy birthday cake!
No, don't do that.
I don't want a healthy. Listen, you know what my birthday cake is? I get a birthday cake every year. My wife makes me an Italian rum cake, and it is filled with custard and whipped cream and a lot of rum.
That sounds fabulous.
Okay, announcement.
That's wonderful. Hi, Jeff.
Jeff just walked in the studio with a large bag. Now, if that large bag does not feed everybody in this room, Jeff is going to be in major trouble.
It does not feed everybody in the room.
You know what, Jeff? You cannot bring a bag that big in, call it breakfast, and not bring enough for everybody.
I didn't call it breakfast. This is my dinner because I was on the road in freezing rain and ice all night long under the auspices of going to get my sister from Pittsburgh. And I didn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning,
no.
And it was
turn
your fault.
Turn up one. Why is it my fault?
Because it can never be a man's
turn up
fault.
One.
Huh? Okay.
Turn one down there. It can never be a man's. It's always the man's fault.
It's never the man's fault. And we found that out from the Garden of Eden, so don't even try it.
No, it's always the man's fault.
Don't try it, Tracy.
It's always the man's fault.
You see how sick I am as well.
Oh, go over on the.
I'm not contagious. It's not contagious sick. This is a different kind of sick. But see, you always cause these things to happen. And me and Mark and Ben and Styx, we just are at the mercy of the women in our lives because it's always a woman's fault no matter what happens wrong.
That is such a silly thing to say that I refuse to respond to it.
You have to respond. Tell me when the time when it hasn't been a woman's fault.
I want everybody to know he's saying it with a smile on his face.
9/11 wasn't a woman's fault.
Sure it was. Sure it was. Mrs. Bush did not give George Bush the message that the planes were coming.
Jeez.
And it was George Bush's fault anyway. You know that because it was the inside job. But I'm just regurgitating all this stuff.
Are you trying to tell me everything that's going on right now in New Jersey is...
Well, he fired up. He didn't fire any man, now, did he? Who did he fire? Who did Chris Christie fire?
Well, his chief of staff was a woman.
Shall I say anything else?
She didn't look too happy either.
Should I just shut up now?
Yeah, she was walking out. They showed her walking out the door, and I thought, oh, my goodness, would she be a fun date? I don't know.
But you
But you know what? I have to say it this way. And I know we're going to talk about a whole lot today. The number is 347-945-5229. And if, for those of you who are new to listening into it, we do Mondays and Fridays are usually open mic, and then Tuesdays is Jeff and I, and Thursdays is Mark and I, and Wednesdays are Six and I. And you always have I here, and then I always leave them behind and then drop them on their head and have, make them go for what they know. But nevertheless, Friday is open mic. And Chris Christie, I mean, you know, what's wrong with making people sit on the bridge because you said something smart?
You know what? I posted on my blog this morning about Chris Christie, and I made the mistake of saying that he inconvenienced the few people were inconvenienced on a bridge, and one of my liberal friends wrote me a scathing
it's not like
posting.
The bridge collapsed or anything. He just backed up traffic for a little while. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of fun to watch people go, you know, let me get you for this. I mean,
well, we're from Youngstown, Tracy. That's what we do, and that's what I wrote. I mean, for us here in town, but then they're giving me this oldest lady died. This lady didn't die as a result
of
that.
She didn't die because she was stuck on a bridge. She died because she was
92, 93.
Stuck on a bridge. I'm just saying.
I was stuck on a bridge by the Youngstown Police Department over there for 3 hours. I couldn't go to the bathroom or anything.
Ooh, that's bad.
It was bad.
That's not good.
No. When they had that accident, I missed the dance. I had on my tuxedo. I had on my good dude, my good duds.
Your duds?
Yeah.
Hey, Diva, did you find the dress? Shop the closet.
Yeah. No, yes, I found the dress. It took me 5 hours, but I finally
what
found
color?
A dress.
What color?
It's ivory.
You getting married?
No, but that's the color that my... I'm trying to coordinate with my date's suit. So, ivory.
So you couldn't find a cute little black dress and coordinate ivory into it. You know, we got to talk about
this. Oh, he doesn't have any black in his suit.
You don't
Tracy,
have to have black
Tracy,
in his suit.
Don't be a hater. She's going to look nice.
It's not about
I'm looking
about,
bomb.
It's about dollars and cents.
Ah. It didn't cost me that much. I didn't spend that much money. It didn't cost me that much at all.
Didn't
I'm not
matter.
A bargain but, shop and still look like a diva.
So now she looks like a diva. She's not a diva.
Sorry about that.
Okay. I'm glad you found your dress. And listen, happy birthday, Diva.
Happy birthday.
Cause,
yeah.
And for those of you who sent beautiful acknowledgments of my birthday over the holidays, if you knew what I went through, you'd know that the reason why I have not responded back yet is because I'm loopy as a nutcase. But I want to tell you thank you so much for all of them, because I couldn't respond to each and every one of you, but it sure does have a humbling feeling that that many people stop and say happy birthday to you. So thank you.
Are you loopy this morning? Oh.
Absolutely. I'm loopy and high. Early in the morning.
Yeah, I got to have about 10 cups of coffee. I don't know about this. You know, it's
this is good.
Yeah, I've been up since 3.
Oh yeah, I like that. I tried, but I'm on drugs, and they let you take all kinds of drugs that they tell you don't take.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I remember when I had a kidney stone, they gave me a drug, and it was just they only gave it to me once. This was years ago, and if you've never had a kidney stone, it's one of the most painful things you could possibly go through, and they gave me the kidney stone. You know what? It didn't do anything to make the pain go away, but I'll tell you what.
Were you looping?
I didn't
yeah.
care. I said, I don't care. They only gave it to me once.
I wonder why.
What'd they give you?
I don't know what it was, but I'll tell you what, it was really interesting.
It's like it takes you like a bridge over troubled water.
Yeah.
It'll ease your mind.
Let me tell you, best pain meds I was ever given. 2012, I was hospitalized for rhabdomyolysis, and I was in so much pain, they had to give me morphine. And
oh, you were loopy.
It was so awesome.
Michael Jackson's drug is the one.
I was like, whoo. And
you know,
it
that propofol, Jeff, speaking
propofol,
of that, that propofol is an amazing, amazing sleep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That really is. Cause
what is it called?
Propofol. It's a drug that they give you in anesthesia.
Oh, yeah.
And I will have to say, because, you know, when you go into surgery, most they give you propofol.
Yeah.
And I will say it is an amazing sleep.
Absolutely.
That's what they use, and they went in to get my other kidney stone. They went in to get the kidney stone.
You wake up ready to go running as long as you don't have pain. I'm serious.
You don't get sick.
Yeah, some people get sick off of it. I'm just saying, but if get past the pain, if you have no pain when you wake up, you can tear up some stuff. Hey,
you sure?
The number is 347-945-5229. I do have a question for you guys. I know that we're all upset with Chris Christie.
I'm not.
What? I'm not either.
I'm
Why
not.
Would I be? I'm going to write what this guy wrote me. He says, hi. I said basically, you know what, there were some people inconvenienced on the bridge, but compared to this other stuff that's gone on in this country, you know, this is not that big of a deal. And he says to me, where do I begin? A few cars inconvenienced. What planet do you live on? The entire town was shut down. School buses full of kids were delayed. Essential services were disrupted. And an elderly woman died. Now there could be a massive lawsuit. This is just one point. There's much more to follow. We still don't know all the details. You know what? I watched Chris Cuomo this morning on CNN, and that just got me riled up. Because we want to know what he knew and when did he know it. And he's going through all this stuff, and I'm thinking everything that you just said in a five-minute rant, I could say about the IRS, I could say about the NSA, I could say about Benghazi, I could say about Jim Rosen.
Here.
You know, this is nothing. This is a walk in the park compared to what this guy does. And then we'll move over to Hillary and Bill and start with that, because at least this guy got on TV last night and apologized in a very profound way, opened himself up to the press for 2 hours, and didn't sit and say, well, it depends on what the definition of is. Which is what we've gotten from these other people sitting in Washington. And that affects my life more than these cars stuck on a bridge.
Thank you. So why would this be such a... I mean, yesterday, if you listened to it, it was like it was a major story. This was bigger than Benghazi.
It was. You know what?
Turn your mic up.
Well, you know why it was such a big deal? Because the left saw Chris Christie as a very viable candidate in 2016 against Hillary Clinton. So
he's tied with her in the polls.
Okay, so let's put it this way, and I'm going to take my break really quick now. Okay, he's running for president. What does a staffer, what does a staffer making a bad sense of judgment for a political candidate have to do with him running for president of office? Does it speak to his character, or what does it speak to? I mean, this is the dumbest thing in the world. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the side.
Your time has come.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I am in studio looking at walls tumbling down and bridges over troubled water. And I just want to know, what does a bridge and Chris Christie have to do with Chris Christie deciding to run for the White House?
The press doesn't like him. The press doesn't want him. The press doesn't want anybody that's going to challenge Hillary. This is going to be elect Hillary the next year and a half.
But Hillary has to have a race even if it's against Donald Duck. Hold on just a second.
Well, they chose Chris Christie for this race already. And, you know, then they make these polls work for him, and then they make the progressive race up, and then we're going to deal with, you know, this situation for the next 2.5 years, 3 years.
So we're going to be talking about a bridge?
You're going to be talking about Chris Christie, whether he lied or not. That's all it's going to be. Cause
I don't know what he, what are you going to mean?
I don't think you're going to be talking about it because I think he's done.
Why is he done?
You don't know politics. I'm a
here it is.
Why? You don't understand.
Hold on. Right is not going to vote for, the right is not going to vote for Chris Christie, okay?
They never were. That's not the point.
Okay. But Chris Christie had the potential of pulling Democrat voters and the middle from Hillary. Now he doesn't have that. They're nobody going to vote for him. So he,
oh, you think that's going to change some of this?
I'll tell you,
yes,
Diva, the mistake you're making is that if everybody seems to think that Hillary, let me tell you something. There's a certain segment of the population that wants her to be president, but that's a shrinking population. This country is going to be so fed up with these old political dynasty, and in her place, this old hag of a woman. And I'll tell you what.
I agree.
She's been around. Why don't these people go away?
Okay, I get what you're saying. I get your sentiment. But the Democrat Party still loves her. So she is going to be our nominee.
Diva, just because I love you doesn't mean that you get a free pass to the White House. They showed her that.
Nobody. I didn't say
Diva,
that.
Okay, so tell me this. What does a bridge to do New York have to do with him becoming president?
No, he doesn't. I don't care one way or the other what he did, because to me it's like Mark said, it's not that big of a scandal. I mean, his intent was very ugly. That's some ugly stuff to do.
My question is,
it's not a very big scandal. But the fact that it's not a scandal, it's about like Mark said, clearing the playing field for Hillary Clinton. That's all that this is about.
You can't clear a playing field. He can't even. He hasn't even made it out of the primary yet. Go ahead, caller. Hold on, Diva. Diva, hold on. You got. Remember, there's a primary process.
Okay, go ahead.
Right now, you've got this. You've got this moderate, almost liberal, conservative Republican who hasn't even made it out of the primary yet. And you're talking about him running against Hillary in a general election 2 years from today. That's crazy. Go ahead, private caller. How are you this morning?
Hello, Tracy and friends. How you doing
this morning? I'm doing well.
How are
you?
I would like to say yes. I listen to your archives when I can, when I'm off from work. Y'all had a great conversation about transgender. That was a good conversation. But I think it's very important. Because, see, I heard today someone was saying New Jersey is a Democratic state. A Democratic state voted in a Republican governor, and they say it's kind of crazy because most of the congressional caucus is Democratic, but they voted in a Republican governor. And people were saying just because of the president's meeting with him when the Hurricane Sandy, and I don't, if someone believes that, I don't think they're judging the voters correctly. But this situation here, this shows his decision-making skills when he has power. And this goes down to abuse of power. In my state, they're running for a governor. And one of the candidates for governor, Doug Gansler, was being accused of abusing his power by bypassing a traffic jam by having a state police ride on the shoulder. Well, when he was riding on the shoulder, the governor, O'Malley, was sitting in that traffic jam. So these things that we bring up, it may seem petty, but this shows his decision-making skills and how he uses his power. because he's supposed to represent the people when he uses his power.
Can I answer that?
Not
can I
answer that?
One at a time.
This is childish
game. One at a time. Hold on. Go ahead. Jeff, you want to say something? Okay. Mark, go ahead, because I'm coming behind you.
I want to say, you know, if that's the test, please, if you voted for Barack Obama, you voted for the wrong guy. Because Barack Obama never made a decision in his life, and he's still not making decisions. You've got a president that has put some of the worst scandals in American history that the press has just blown off. And I don't blame Obama. He's going to do what he's going to do. I blame a press that is not critically looking at what this guy has done that's destroying the very fabric of rule of law in this country while looking at Chris Christie worried about a bridge. Now, Chris Christie probably has made more decisions as governor of New Jersey than Barack Obama has made as president of the United States, because he's either running the show or he's not, and as time goes on, I've come to the conclusion that this guy's an empty suit sitting in the White House who doesn't react to something happens, one of his underlings. I don't think he's done anything. I don't think he's made any decisions at all. These scandals affect me. The IRS affects me. Benghazi affects me. The NSA affects me. Obamacare affects me. All of these things deal with me. The bridge in New Jersey has nothing, and every governor is going to have this kind of a problem. There's not a politician in the United States that doesn't have something happen like this. But to do what the press is doing,
Politicians don't shut down the bridge for 4 days, sir. And I understand what
you're
saying, but we're talking about
Christie,
and you keep on going. Well, but I understand what you're saying, but we're talking about Christie's actions. And, yes, the Republicans are pumping him up. He was the opening speaker for Romney, so he is important. He does have a political power. But we're talking about Christie and his abuse of power, not Hillary Clinton, not Obama. Let's stay on Christie.
But this is all about the White House, and this is all about him running for the White House. So if that be the case,
right. Then
the question is, this was a juvenile maneuver made by a staffer, not the actual man. Now, if he's the one who did it, then there's something that says something about his integrity and or his governance. But we're talking about a staffer who made it.
But when he knew about it.
No. Listen, when he found out about it, when he knew about it, I'm quite sure he didn't call up CNN, NBC, Fox News and say, listen, this is what one of my staffers did and she's fired. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, tell me something, caller.
Excuse me? How many times right now that when a delegate's fired, chiefs of police or things like that, sometimes they do press conferences. Come on now. We can't give them breaks. And I'm letting you know we can judge them on their decision-making skills, and he could have handled this another way. They said if you know a quote-unquote crime is done, you better contact the police. But he waited, and he had to buy closed doors. They always fire people.
Sir, does the same apply to Barack Obama and the Internal Revenue Service?
See, you keep on
talking about this. Does the same apply to Barack Obama and the Internal Revenue Service? Did he know what they were doing?
Switching the topic.
Listen, this is the
– Wait a minute. Stop that foolishness. We switching the topic. It's the same doggone thing. Now, how you going to sit up there and you're going to tell us that it don't matter what Barack Obama did, the President of the United States, who abused his power 3 times, NSA, Fast and Furious, and IRS.
Benghazi,
4 times. Now, you're going to tell me, you listen, and then we go back to the same thing where it points to him every single time in his inner circle, and then you're going to talk this BS about somebody stopping some cars on a bridge.
What kind
of asinine thought is that?
And what is Barack about? I didn't know.
Well,
I didn't know until I saw it in the newspaper.
What kind of a president is this guy? I am registered as an unaffiliated independent. I hope they change it to a voter. That means I'm not affiliated with any party, sir. Hold up, sir. Okay, I worked the polls for Obama in 08. This election, I did not vote for him. I agree with you. And you know what? I'm a veteran, and I didn't do it. One was Benghazi, sir. I understand, but we're talking about, I thought the topic was about Christie and his dreams for a resident. And does this situation have anything or question his decision-making skills and his choices when he uses his power? He bragged about this. This was the first day of school. situation. I'm just saying, sir, that that a voter can take this into consideration. I understand what you're saying about, but we're talking about Christie. He is a prime candidate. They are priming him up. And the media, which is the fourth branch of government, so they are priming him up.
The media is priming him up, not Republicans, except the neocons that are pretty much in control of a lot of the party right now.
Hold on,
let the man finish. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, bro. Male caller.
I think you scared him off.
Yeah, finish your statement.
I wanted to be quiet. I didn't want to, you guys. I didn't want to cut you guys off.
No, Atlantic
on top of you. And you guys be courteous. Don't talk on top of people. A lot of people can't do it, and then it's hard for other people who are listening to understand what we're doing. So finish your thought.
I'm finished, man. I'm finished.
All right.
As I was saying, and I really mean this. Was it a bad call for a staffer to do that? But in any facet that you have that many people, you know, whether it be President Barack Obama, whether it be a governor of a state, you're looking at a lot of mechanisms that are going on throughout the course of a day. And unless Governor Christie wrote it, hey, said, listen, go nail him to the cross, shut down the bridge for 4 days and make him sweat, you can't say that he would make a bad president and or a bad leader or a bad governor because a staffer said, oh, I know how to get this person back. That's far-fetched. And he may have known a couple weeks afterwards, but it's not like the person may be a reprimanded. I don't know when that person got fired, but I'm quite sure that the course that he has taken is he didn't just say, well, listen, I'm going to let you stay on until somebody else finds out. That's just not how it works. And knowing Governor Christie, and I've had the opportunity, hold on, Diva, knowing Governor Christie and having the opportunity to meet him, he reminds me a lot of a person like me. You know, when I have a conversation with people that are off air about something that I'm passionate about and you do something stupid and it's going to reflect my reputation, I am not a pretty person. I am not pretty at all. Nor are my tactics, nor is my vocabulary politically correct. And I'm quite sure that big, white, fat guy in New Jersey probably ripped a complete office apart when he found out. I'm quite sure he did. So that little subtle guy that got up at the podium yesterday, that was his pseudo-brother because it definitely wasn't the person when he found out what had happened. But that has nothing for who he is as a leader unless he actually condoned it. And that right there is a gray area that you will never know. But for us to be talking about him running against Hillary Clinton when neither one of them have made it out of the primary, and because we're so disingenuous with most of this because we have bigger fish to fry in America that we're not dealing with in the White House as well as in our own governor's offices. That's what makes it so bad. The media is changing the conversation to nothing when there's a lot of something to talk about. And we need to quit following the bouncing ball of the media and start looking at what the media doesn't want you to talk about.
Tracy, I understand you, but it's like the other side talks about a lot of people. Obama said the same thing, quote unquote. I don't agree with him, but he says he knows nothing. Just like Christie playing this, I know nothing card. They always
again, President. But everybody, listen. There's a lot of things in the White House, and I've taken up for President Obama. And you guys know I'm not a President Obama fan, but I've taken up for him. He does not know everything that's going on in the White House. But there's a lot of things he does know that he does not acknowledge. He can't be the hands-on president that he says he is, and I know nothing at the same time. You can't do both. But going through the Department of Transportation and doing some stuff like this, I don't think is a part of a major responsibility of the governor to put his finger on the pulse every day. That's just not how it works. But when you look at Benghazi and you look at shutting down and security forces over in the Arab Springs, he's supposed to know about that. And if he didn't know about that, he should have known about that. There was another comment that he made. He said, I didn't find out anything until I saw it on CNN. That is not how the president gets his information.
But, Tracy, didn't this impact, this was the first day, didn't this impact a lot of people's lives for 4 days, inconveniencing them?
Listen, it's a childish game.
I understand you. I'm with you.
Listen, I don't like getting stuck. I'm trying to figure out why here in Youngstown, we got a road called 224. And I don't understand how you can have an accident on the southbound side and everything on the northbound side stop. I'm confused why they stop traffic both ways. But that's how, you know, and it's an inconvenience and it just drives me nuts. And I understand that. And the person who did it was actually wrong, should have been fired, and I think that's fine, well, and good. And if the lady who died, if she sues the state because it was a state employee who did it, you know, just settle with her and them, and it'll be okay.
But for them
to actually go after Christie and say, this actually negates you from running for office, that's just crazy. This has nothing to do with him running for office,
but the fact is now he does not have a voting bloc because now Democrats are looking
please.
At him like,
oh,
okay,
man.
Your office
please.
Did something, something to get back at someone. We trusted you. We went against our own to vote for you, and this is how we're repaid. So now he doesn't have a voting block.
Diva.
You don't believe the words coming
please.
Out your mouth. I'm going to take a break.
I'm
please.
Glad that was advocate. You're
that's
asking
crazy.
All these questions, why, but you won't accept the answer from the very people who are going to who would have supported him in 2016. And yet you don't want to hear the answer because that's exactly what's going on. The right was not going to vote for him. He only had power. His power lay with the left. Now they're not going to vote for him either. So he's done. Hello? Hello?
Hello, we have sound?
Yeah, we have sound, but I don't know what happened to the radio show. Unless she's on break.
Oh, they must got. Yeah, she may have went on a break. Can anybody, is this me and you?
Yes.
How you doing? Who's this? Diva?
Yes.
Oh, I've listened to the archives. Yes, I remember your voice.
Now haven't the feminists gotten a hold of you? Is that that's a wrong attitude to have? You've got to.
Oh, I'm a feminist.
You've got to be a woman. You've got to go do it all.
I'm a feminist. I'm just lazy and unambitious, too.
Okay, what happened there?
At least she's honest. This girl's going to go far, I'll tell you.
And it's not because I'm a woman. It's because I'm lazy and unambitious.
You'll be famous, Annie, believe me. That's the attitude that gets you there.
Oh. Okay, what happened?
The casting couch?
No.
Wait a minute. I don't know how I got to the casting couch. I need to know something. Let me say this. Once I was telling Annie, okay, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And also in studio I have Mark Manji, and he is my guy. And then I got my backbone, which is Jeff Green. You know, the views and opinions are not necessarily the person whose name is on the title. Sometimes things come out of people's mouths. I have no idea where they came from. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. And then on the phone, a caller, private caller, where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Baltimore. Yeah, my name is Mike.
Hey, Mike. Well, thank you for tuning in and listening in. But I understand, I mean, it was really wrong for what happened. And don't get me wrong, I agree with you. My issue is we focus on some of the most trivial things when it comes to electing people. And we need to really take our focus off of what a staffer does and put it on the leadership of the person, whether it be Christie or whether it be Hillary Clinton, because I've got to say this about Hillary Clinton. Remember, Hillary sat there and told us that there were bullets flying over her head in Bosnia. You got to remember that. And she's now the front runner. And we still love her and support her, and she didn't lose her base. She didn't lose a vote because she lied. So
well,
what
I
I'm saying
is... But her credentials are already cemented. So that little bull about the lying...
Diva, what credentials does she have that's in cement?
Okay, let me give it to you. I can't give it to you from the right perspective. I can only give it to you from a Democratic perspective, from the mindset of a Democratic voter, okay? This is what we're thinking. She was in the White House when Bill Clinton ran, when Bill Clinton was president. We all know that she was really the backbone behind that whole administration.
No,
we
don't.
Hold
on, Jeff.
Let me finish.
Don't cross it. Go ahead, Diva.
Okay. So we have a trust factor with her during that they have a trust factor with her because of that administration. Okay. She also served, according to Democrats, she served diligently and well as Secretary of State under President Obama. Because, one, we don't buy your argument about Benghazi. We don't see that as a scandal. We see that as something that happened that was out of control of the president. So it's not a scandal to the left. So, and she's been in politics for a while. She's just the darling of the left. So there's nothing that, I don't think anything is just
Diva, hold on, Mike, hold up, because I got to ask Diva a couple questions. Who in the heck said I need to have a darling as a leader?
What?
You said she's the darling of the left.
I'll try to figure out what are you asking?
And to some black women, Obama's a darling to them.
I mean, are you talking about figuratively, metaphorically, or what? Because it's just a figure of speech.
What I'm saying is, she ain't that much of a darling.
Okay, that's to you. In your eyes,
no,
yes,
Diva,
you don't see that.
Listen, Diva, I'm not talking about to me. Right now, I'm not even in this, because I can't vote for her in the primary. What I'm saying to the left is, you need to weigh your candidates the same way the people on the right need to weigh theirs.
And the left is telling you, don't worry about how we do our candidates. Don't worry about us. You worry about yourself.
Why are you all up in our Kool-Aid?
I'm just saying.
Now you totally have no idea what you was saying by what you just answered.
Because that had nothing to do with what Tracy was saying. I completely got what Tracy was saying.
You ain't listening to nothing.
No, I completely got what Tracy is saying. But what I'm saying is, I'm thinking of from the mindset of a Democratic voter.
And what I'm telling you,
I get what Tracy
mindset,
is saying.
Diva.
She wants
what
to
I'm
say,
saying,
Hillary.
You're
you
not
know that Hillary
Diva.
Has. Not,
I'm telling you from the mindset of the media, we need to quit manipulating people into what we think is going to be best for our ratings, our pocketbook, and our agenda. And right now, the media is controlling the minds of the people, not giving you the facts and the figures and the information that you need, and we're all getting ready to go up in smoke based on a bad newspaper article.
That's the issue, Diva.
The issue that we're concerned about is less who the nominee is, but the process the media is using to steer the candidates where they want to go. I'm going to look at Fox News for a minute. There's a new book out by Roger Ailes, who's from this area, by the way. And Roger Ailes said at the end of last year that he wants to pick the next president of the United States. And it's really kind of interesting because that seems to be, as much as I'm a Fox News fan, I watch Fox News all the time, that's his station. Roger Ailes is one of my heroes. But that kind of attitude coming from the media, it's not necessarily a good attitude because over at MSNBC and over at CNN and over at NBC and CBS, these folks are a small group of people, maybe 50 to 75 at the most, who congregate at the same cocktail parties, who go have dinner together and socialize together. And this group of people is trying to drive the agenda of the nation. You want to criticize Christie for what he did? Those are legitimate issues that they raised. My problem is that they didn't raise them with the other guy over here. And therein lies the problem. So what you end up with, is Hillary Clinton being the darling of the left, and then you've got, the right on the Republican side also has its darling, and there's several who they'll be looking at, and the people that go towards the middle are shunned. And I'm going to mention two. On the Republican side, towards the middle is Chris Christie, and on the Democratic side, towards the middle is Joe Manchin. Now, either one of those guys, I think, would make a good president of the United States. And that, they're being left out in this process, and it's because you have polar opposites on the media driving the debate. There's, in the old days, back when I was, you know, 1950s, 1960s, there were a couple of media outlets, maybe, you know, six or seven most of the country that had any influence at all. And the presidential candidates were picked by going into a smoke-filled room saying who can attract the middle. That doesn't happen anymore. Now it's who can rally the base.
Right.
And you know, the middle's getting shunned out. And I know, you know, here on this program, I'm probably the most moderate of the group of people that make up the Tracy and Friends family.
I'm
sorry, I had to disagree with that.
I'm very middle of the road, Mark.
Pardon me?
I said I'm very middle of the road.
Are you
Mark.
Middle of the
road? You're not.
But, and I mean, that's my issues with the media. You've got to get Tracy had a thing up on her screen a little bit ago about Variety magazine saying CNN's going to revamp their prime time. Listen, they could revamp their prime time from now to the cows come home until the culture of that thing changes, that they believe that far left is middle of the road. Nothing's going to change at CNN, and nobody's going to watch them. And that's just kind of how it goes.
And let me say this, and this is, and I've got to take my top of the hour break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. It is open mic today. The number is 347-945-5229. I am concerned how we're allowing a third party called media to shape the dynamic and conversation of your political process. I don't think you understand how dangerous that is. That is my problem. We're talking about a man and a bridge, and they're blowing it up like he sent somebody to war and killed a kid. And it's the media that's taking this hype, because the reason why we're not talking about the things that are important, like unemployment, like, you know, Benghazi and foreign policy, like IRS, like education. I'm going to come back, when I come back from my break, we're going to talk about this new war on poverty that's going to be reignited 50 years from yesterday, because LBJ had a war on poverty then, and the war on poverty, all it's done is maximize poverty and lessen education.
You keep the mics off, please?
You got it. I'm just saying. And until we wake up and smell the coffee and say, you know what, we're being manipulated, we're being bamboozled, and we're being screwed by some people in some dark suits in a room in the back drinking cognac and smoking cigars, and you're not invited to that party, open up your eyes.
It's what they're eating now is sushi and cosmopolitans.
I like sushi. What's wrong with sushi?
He's implying that they're posh.
Their pot.
And you can get sushi for cheap.
I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Restrained government. And these guys are quite the opposite, Cortez.
Oh, thank God. Mike, are you there?
WSOM, Salem.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. A December surprise from the Labor Department, the monthly jobs report, was a clear disappointment. Only 74,000 new jobs created in December.
Well, the expectation was clearly crowded around, say, 200,000 jobs were supposed to have been added, but we didn't even get half of that. It is worth noting, however, the month of November was revised up, and so that takes a little bit of the sting away from this.
Mark Hamrick of the personal finance website Bankrate.
It could in part be a bit of a statistical fluke, but we'll have to see.
The percentage of Americans in the workforce fell to the lowest in many years. Republican House Speaker John Boehner says the president's policies are failing too many Americans. Tens of thousands of people in West Virginia are being told don't use the water, no drinking, cooking, or bathing in it. This
Mike, are you there? Oh, I guess I'm in here by myself then.
Hello, you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah, we must be in the background.
Yeah, they're on
yeah.
break. This has got to
right,
be the fun.
Exactly.
I sit and I laugh because they only complain about the media when a situation is dealing with the left.
Oh, I know, but see, everybody, see, and like I listened to one show, the other girl, she said, media is ambiguous. Everything is the media. Even this, right there, Blog Talk, we talking right now, someone is listening, someone's opinion may get swayed. Everything is the media. Giving your opinion is the media. But, you know, the only true media, and the media is kind of like the fourth branch of government because it does change minds, and when the politicians talk, they try to convince you. The only way that you can probably get raw, straight facts is C-SPAN. But when I watch it, whether you're watching Fox or MAC, you gotta know when they're giving you the facts and then when they turn on their opinion thing. So you got to listen to their opinions and you got to listen to their facts. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't divide that up when
right,
you listen to them. Because they do give you facts. They do. The music, they do give you facts. But then they start bringing their opinions on that fact, and that's when you say, oh, you know, right. That's all.
Right. But the thing is that cracks me up is, one, trying to psychoanalyze something that doesn't need psychoanalyzing. Chris Christie is just done. This whole situation that came about, the reason why it's so big, whether you like it or not, agree or disagree, is about removing him from blocking Hillary from 2016. From the White House, you cannot psychoanalyze that.
I wanted to let them know. Right now, they're going to go into war on poverty. That's a good job. But I just wanted to let them know that Obama is going to get Hillary. Remember, Obama says he took responsibility from Benghazi. So Obama going to come out and say, you know what? I told everybody that was my responsibility. Don't let her hold that, and she can come out whether I knew it or not. The President Obama would give me permission to strike anyway. She didn't have permission
right.
to strike. But now, I agree with that. Now, see, I looked at the Senate hearings or the C-SPAN hearings, and it was some bull crap, though. It wasn't about no video. They should have did something. I'm just letting you know, it wasn't about no video. They
well, we know it wasn't
that,
about
and
a
I,
video.
And,
that's,
and
I don't,
Obama,
but I don't get
and
it.
And I knew it for... Right, but I just knew for election he didn't tell the truth, which I didn't like. I didn't like that.
But what I don't understand is, no, because the truth came out before the election. What I don't get is, why everybody's still trying to make this about a video when, like Hillary said, when she said, does it matter whether we thought it was about a video or it turned out not to be about a video? What does any of that matter? People still die. The situation still happened. The video doesn't change the dynamic of the situation. The fact of the matter is you had a group of people, a group of terrorists, who did use that video as a distraction. They used what other people were protesting about to do what
they
did.
They couldn't have. Look, David, they couldn't have because before that, they had so many bombings the year before. And that year, March and April, July of that year, they blew up the ambassador to France and the Red Cross was they bombed the Red Cross. They were getting everybody out of there. And I understand they should have tightened security. But to say it was just on a video and act like we didn't have chaos and confusion before that and we didn't have threat in that country before that, I think that was just, you
but
know,
nobody
were,
was saying that either.
They were downplaying it. Right,
nobody
but,
was.
Right, but
I don't
were,
think they. I don't see. I didn't hear any downplaying it. I heard that they didn't have. They did thin out their security forces. I did hear that they requested that Steve has requested more security. I heard that the Republicans was blocking cutting funds to the State Department. And whenever you have lack of money, no matter how much you want to keep something, you just can't do it. And that was a bad situation all around.
Right, but as we're talking about Christie, right, but when we talk about Christie, when information comes out, when you get those facts, they're going to judge you. What are you going to do once you get those facts? They're going to judge your action because once you do that, you can be complacent with it, and you can't be that. So, and then I'm just saying it was just obvious, and I just didn't like that, you know, I just saw the hearings, and I just, you know, I try to look at things objectively and no bias with it. And there were some other things why I didn't vote for Obama, because I try to look at things objectively. I'm not a Republican. I couldn't vote for Romney. And the other Green candidates, I really didn't. I saw one debate on them, but I didn't really get into them. So I just voted on my state level. I didn't vote for anybody on the federal side. I just voted on my on the state elections because I didn't like any other candidates. And Obama, he wasn't talking about jobs. But, yeah, this new topic that they're bringing up now is quite interesting, though. Yeah.
War on poverty.
So you're a registered Democrat?
No, my voting registration says that I am unaffiliated.
Right, exactly.
But,
see, you want me. See, I'm trying to I think everything.
No, because I vote Democrat. I can't see myself voting Republican.
Well, but see, that's no problem. See, this is my thing. I don't want anybody or no one to change their political views. But if people just go down and say you're unaffiliated, and let's say 50 of the electorate is unaffiliated, it'll shake up the whole system. Because
I completely agree, especially with the Democratic Party.
Because they will go on issues, right? They'll go on issues, and then we'll say, I'm starting to vote for this such and such a person, their name instead, because they're a Democrat and Republican. And then those Democrats and Republicans are going to say, you know what, I have these quote-unquote unaffiliated, meaning I know they have issues, but they're not saying that they're, you know, under my tent, so I'm going to have to go and ask them, what do they want? I'm going to have to find out what their concerns are. I'm going to have to talk about the issues. I'm not just going to run with this party behind me. So if most people, I would see, and I think they should change the system because I think us as unaffiliated independents, no one should never be forced to be a part of a group to vote in any political process in this system.
But you don't have to be a part of a group.
They've had primaries, though. But they have primaries, and I'm letting you know,
okay.
I'm saying we should restructure the system where no one, no voter should be left out in no type of voting process. Now, I understand all about the primaries in general, but I'm saying we should still have a neutral party. We still should have a neutral vote.
The only way we're going to have a neutral the only way we're going to have a neutral party is if the voting blocks of both Republicans and Democrats both wake up. Now, right now, what we have is you have the Republicans pointing at Democrats saying, you vote and you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know why you're voting and this is wrong. They're using you. And then the left does the same, finger pointing at the right. So then they just stick to themselves and say, you know what, I'm not hearing anything you have to say. The conversation has to change where it doesn't come from right or it doesn't come from left, and it doesn't come from a libertarian perspective either. It just comes from someone who truly wants to have an honest election, whose vote they
in concept, right. But see,
so,
to me, a lot of people don't like when I say this, but there's no such thing as a Democrat or a Republican. Me, even by definition, you say more or less government, you being ambiguous, you vague. That's like, you know, when I see Republicans and Democrats going against each other, it's like the Miami Heat going against the Miami Heat. It's all
exactly.
A big fraud, and I laugh at them, and it's crazy.
It is. I see it now because I used to not see it so much because I used to be a diehard Democrat. And I did. I voted because I voted for the ideals because I did not agree with the Republican agenda. So I would vote for a Democrat no matter what, but now my eyes are opening, and I'm like, wait a minute. You got to work for my vote. Even though I'm going to vote Democrat, you still have to work for my vote. And then to see them going at each other, it's so hilarious.
Well, thank you.
He got elected. The country selected.
Yeah.
you for the crowd, chanted Hope and Jane. And his top mission, creating stars and commission. Worldwide abortion, U.S. citizen pay.
Some staffers that we have here, Russia had 18 czars in 300 years. Obama has gone above that.
Control the masses. Healthcare then passes. No reading the bill before the vote.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Taxing the rich guy so Congress can still buy. Economy's playing a 6-hour note.
There's a thousand things that he could do. He just needs to get down here and start doing something.
Wasting away in Barack Obama's hill. Looking for my home, changing a job. Some people say that there's Obama to blame. But we know it's George Bush's fault.
No, that's just not true.
Gitmo still closing. Iraq exploding. Pulling back troops is a real bad idea.
As promised, the rest of our troops in Iraq will come home by the end of the year.
Afghanistan's raging. Captain, we're trading. Canadian pipeline getting the boom.
No other way to put it. The president is selling out American jobs for politics.
Don't know the reason this political season. Try to raise taxes to pay the bill.
Those who have done well, including me, should pay our fair share in taxes. This is just class warfare.
Cobble the Cajun. Politically saying,
get this thing moving, we're about to die down here.
It's time to panic if I were you.
It's time for the Obama White House to panic.
Wasting away in Barack Obama bill. Looking for my hope, changing a job.
You Obama, just stay here for a moment.
Some people say that there's no Obama to blame, but we know it could be George Bush's fault.
No, that's just not true.
Off on vacation, unemployed nation, cronies feed daily at the public's expense.
The Obama White House ignored multiple warnings about the financial viability of Solyndra.
Blacks are not mentioned. How to hold on so they still vote for you.
It is time to let go,
women. Wasting away in Barack Obama's bill. Looking for my hope, changing a job. Some people say that there's Obama to blame, but we know might be George Bush's fault.
We all need a job, you know.
Wasting away in Barack Obama's bill. Looking for my hope, changing a job.
Mr. Presidente, vote for you if you ever stay.
Some people say that there's Obama to blame, but we know it ain't George Bush's fault.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Okay, we're back. I'm listening to Tracy and Fern. And views and opinions expressed on WSOM are not always that of, because, you know, I got people in here named Jeff. What?
That's my number one hit of 2 years ago.
That's outstanding. I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Tell the boss over there, you know, she's sitting by really exquisite talent. I mean, we're really talented.
She's just mad because I wouldn't let her sing on the record.
She ain't she laughing, Jeff.
She never let me sing. Mark, it's conspiracy. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I have several of those. Excuse me. Excuse me.
That was just terrific. That
was pretty good.
Thank you.
Catchy little ditty.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
I love parody. I've just been a parody fan all my life since, I don't know if you remember back in the 1960s, there was a show called That Was the Week That Was.
That Was the Week That Was.
Yeah.
It's before my time. I'm too young for that.
And the Smothers Brothers.
Yep.
Parody's an art, though.
It is.
Now they got the Capitol Steps. You ever see the Capitol Steps?
Excellent.
It started off as a group of ex-congressional staffers who got together and did parody. Now they've got a permanent home in Washington. They go all over the country. They got two troops that go around all over the country doing parodies. They're terrific. That's where Alex learned the facts of life. My son, that's where he learned the facts of life.
Okay.
He learned the facts of life.
Well, yeah, because you got to understand, you know, when were the Clinton scandals, the Monica Lewinsky thing? When was that going on?
84, if I...
That had to be later than that.
87, 88,
89, 90, 90, 90, 91. And you have to sitting at the five-year-old table, you know, sitting at the breakfast table with a five-, six-, seven-year-old kid, and he's watching the news, and... says, Dad, what are they talking about? I don't get it. And so he watched the news. That's where he learned the facts of life.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Are you trying to tell me that my Alex...
Yes, that's your Alex. That's the one.
My Alex in 94 was a baby.
Yeah. It was 7, 8, 9. And I forget. Whatever the year this was, but this was going on with Monica Lewinsky.
I'm getting so old.
I mean, he was, you know, grade school... you know, probably first, second grade. We're watching, you have your coffee, you got the news on, you're watching the Today Show on NBC, and he's got, you know, what did they do?
I'm getting so old.
And then we took him to see the Capitol Steps. And here's the thing, he understood everything they were talking about. So he had an advanced lesson in the facts of life.
From
Bill Clinton, that's right.
On the Capitol Steps.
Yeah, he says, what was on the dress, Dad?
Okay. Oh, Alex.
Ooh. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees
and the flowers and the trees
and the moon up above.
The family show.
And a song called love. Look into your big brown eyes.
What?
Oh,
I don't know nothing I'm talking about.
Thing to see.
Ooh. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. I got to address Jeff this morning.
What did I do now?
You didn't do anything, but I got to tell you, I got to admit I'm wrong about one thing.
What's that?
I looked up pictures of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and they show a picture of her. They show a picture of her with no makeup on. Dude, she is stone cold ugly.
Without makeup.
I was all wrong about her. Wrong. You
hey,
just
man.
Look it up. You can just look it up.
Did.
You'll be shocked.
Didn't I tell you she wasn't a cute girl?
Somebody said.
I admit I was wrong. I was wrong. Wrong. I went up there and went, holy crap, that girl is bad.
Smack.
Yep. Jeff, just look it up. I'm sorry, but I'm bailing on you on this one now.
Look, you guys.
Listen, girls may not be my flavor, but I do have good eyes, not cute.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You know, whoever does her makeup, he should be making big bucks. He or she. No, that's great.
I must need counseling then.
Hey. You know, I know I'm politically incorrect, but I got to call him the way I see him, so.
Are you telling me that Jeff had a crush on Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Mm-mm. I just thought that she looks
hot.
Yeah, oh, we haven't been hot.
We haven't done hot or not for a while.
Yeah, we haven't.
Were you ever looking above her neck when you made that determination?
Mike.
What did you base? See, I've never bumped into the lady, so I have no idea what she feel. I look like.
She's not cute. She's not cute. Makeup, no makeup. She's not cute at all.
I know.
Where's her hair? I can't take the hair.
I can look past the hair. I could look past the hair.
I've got to look this up.
The rest of it is, though.
I
know,
South
Jeff.
Carolina, your mic's on, too.
Is it okay to light it?
It's along the same line. We just wanted to hit it, and that's it.
What hair are you talking about?
I have never seen this woman in my life, but I bet she is adorable compared to Chris Christie.
I don't know.
No, I don't know about that.
Oh, Christie's just
my level.
I mean, Chris Christie is... You know, he's got something
like,
there.
He looks like a used car salesman.
That's okay. A used car salesman can be halfway
decent.
Yes, he
does.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a... She...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Special.
Oh, I'm
and I don't
want
to be sitting on a plane next to Chris Christie either.
That's why I'm
looking at
her.
He smells like eggs.
No, he doesn't.
I'm looking at her pictures online. And why do they have a picture of Smeagol from Lord of the Rings as one of her pictures? Oh, for great, you got it.
I think it would be a good PR move. If he lose weight, that would be a good PR move.
He got lap bands surgery and ain't done nothing.
It caused him nothing.
He lost a few inches.
He lost a few. You can tell.
I can't tell.
I'll tell you this. The lap band doesn't do anything, doesn't do much.
Yeah,
gas bypass does entirely too much. And he's gonna lose some weight during this campaign because they're gonna run it off of him.
Yeah, you got to just stop eating. You got to cut back on what you take in. It's a simple math equation. If you take in more calories than you burn, you gain weight. It goes into storage. That's it.
Well,
that's my problem. I can't add.
So, you know.
I'm looking for that picture. I can't find it.
All of them.
So is it okay to lie to your children?
347-945-5229.
Okay.
Hey, listen,
okay.
can I go? I got to. Hey, guys, I need to go to a commercial.
Perfect.
I got to go to. Not, yeah.
Oh, I wonder if you all can hear me.
I can hear you. How you doing, honey?
I'm doing fine. Feeling fine. It warmed up this morning.
What, it warmed up from 45 to 65 now?
What? No, it's just going to be 60 degrees today.
Big deal.
Well,
we're
almost
there tomorrow.
The other day, so.
I gotta go to a conversation along the way, and it's 23 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. I got to talk about Melissa Ann Harris Perry. And her same thing. And her apology to the Romney family for the baby who they adopted, who was African American, that they slammed on her show.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
But that's her story too. She was adopted by a white family, wasn't she?
A white Mormon family.
Exactly.
Yeah, but she was dead wrong for that. She was so wrong.
One of her guests did, but she should have hauled them up short. Just like Tracy corrects us here on the line when we get a little out of hand in the sandbox here. Tracy has no problem correcting us. The woman should have stepped up and said, "Hey, that don't go. You're talking about me." She should have stood up, but she didn't want to be. She didn't want
to. But what it is, she ain't got no. You got to have a sense of oomph to step up and say you can't say that. But let me say this. I'm gonna talk to my brothers and sisters out there of the black persuasion out there. We need to shut it up when it comes to people and who we want to adopt our kids and who we don't want to adopt our kids, because we wouldn't have this problem if we took care of our own.
Precisely. Mm-hmm.
And right now, you can't find black folks that want to adopt anything.
Amen.
Not even a puppy that's black. So we want to hold up and have a whole lot of yakky yak about somebody saying something. If all the white people in America started adopting black kids, we still got black kids to go. So we all just need to shut it up. Because that was just rude. It was crazy.
I mean, for her to say that, was just so. But see, here's the thing. Going back to the same thing. MSNBC is nothing but a push the envelope system for the Democrat National Committee. That's who owns them, and that's, you know, how can you have a meeting in the White House of all liberal media without Fox News or any other newspaper and tell them that they better write good articles about Obamacare and things. This happened in December, and we're not calling this, and I don't understand why the Republicans are sitting back once again, not saying a doggone thing. Now we've had the meeting, you and I, Tracy. We've met with the chairman, national chairman. We've met with the state chairman, and we've told them that the branding has to be dealt with, or she might as well forget winning anything. But the thing is, you haven't heard a peep. Nobody's saying, what do you mean, Christy? You know, did this and not calling Obama on this. My name for him is Obama. It's not Obama anymore.
Yeah. Well, I kind of tend to disagree with you.
I'm
because,
sure.
Well, real quick, I kind of disagree with you because the Republicans or the media, the press corps, is putting pressure on Obama because they're saying that they're not allowing them to photograph him traditionally. And I agree with you. It was a bias. But, I mean, Fox News is biased, too. And he's saying he's going to pull the people that was going to be. And I agree with you, but he can invite anybody who he wants to the office, you know.
You can invite anybody to the office that you want to invite, but don't say you did it in a fair way and that you wanted all media to be represented. You can't do that. It's like inviting all white media to a sandbox and saying, leaving all black media out and saying we wanted this to be racially balanced.
But how he's saying it as a candidate, I'm being straight up. He's saying, I'm going to invite the people, because the media is, I define it as a fourth branch of government, who's going to carry my agenda or my points of view out. Fox has their own point of view all the time. So I guess that's what he was doing. You know, now do I agree with it? No. But I understand where he's trying to go with it.
As president of the United States, and this, I'm reading a book about, I think I told you about the media and the collusion of presidents throughout the history of this. And I'm telling you guys, we are being bamboozled by the media because no one is telling us the truth. And the reason why we are in the mess as Americans that we are is because for the centuries, for decades, 70, 80, 90 decades, we have been lied to and been told things that have not been 100% true. And they have made decisions, and we have made decisions on things that we should not have made decisions on based upon sensationalism. And it's killing us. It is absolutely killing us because no one wants to tell us just the truth. Right now, that's a good segue for me to go here. We talk about the war on poverty that LBJ put into place 50 years ago. So President Obama now is going to have power zones and poverty zones, and he's going to go back to the war on poverty in salute of the war on poverty of LBJ. And all they're doing is creating another cluster of poverty and making a whole bunch of folks rich, because poverty is now a success because it is a commodity. Poor people make money. You just don't get it. And we need to take ownership of that. This is really bad. The war on poverty did not work. We're further back, and the income gap is further stretched based upon the war on poverty than it would be if it had been left alone.
And your poor families have been decimated by the rules of the poverty programs that took men out of the households and caused single women to be the head of the households, period. They'll pay the single woman and continue to pay her to have child after child, but they will not support a man and a woman that are raising some children together.
That need assistance.
So that should tell you that they're merchandising you.
The Bible was very clear about merchandising the poor, selling the poor. And that's what the Democrats and the left do. They sell the poor. They use you for your votes. They use you for a cheap labor system. And they use you to carry their stupid water for them with these, with the things like income inequality. Yes, there's income inequality, but why? It has nothing to do with just greedy businessmen. It has to do with how government has messed around with every system that has been a free market system that has made this country the biggest and the strongest in the world.
Yeah.
We give 75% of the world's giving.
Yeah.
Well, the
I disagree, Jeff.
Hold on, and I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mike. Not wrong, Mike. I think I've got new Mike.
Not so far.
Not so blind. After him, I think
real quick, 30 seconds. Yeah, see, the government and businesses are intertwined. They're two parts of the economic system, as we clearly can see. So they're going to be intertwined amongst each other, right? And that's just the inner workings of it. And we'd never get away from that. Even in ancient times, you can say the economic system and the government or the leaders were intertwined. And I agree with you, but we just had to try to restructure some things. But about this war on poverty, he gives a address saying about this 20-city thing, and now he's saying out of the 20, he's going to select these new 5 cities. Now, I'm looking at the states. Most of them come from red states. I think Texas, San Antonio, we have Kentucky, we have Oklahoma, we have Pennsylvania. Most of these are quote-unquote red states, and I think the reason why he's doing this is to have a political move by this. But the war on poverty, I can remember when his first term, when Brother West and Tavis Smiley was going around and saying we needed a war on poverty, and everyone was backlashing them and, going this, but my thing is, how is he selecting these cities? What is the criteria of these cities?
Let me say it to you this way, and then I'm going to go to the next call. I can tell you this way. Whatever he's doing, it is definitely not based upon statistical numbers, because Youngstown, Ohio, has the highest concentration of poverty in the country, statistically. And we ain't in it. And you would think we would have been on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, nice one, blind Mike.
Hey, Tracy, just a couple of points on this, and I'm glad you're talking about this morning. I'm just curious, is Detroit on that list also? Because, if ever a city needed to be picked up by its bootstraps and given some help and just straighten out what they're doing. The other thing is that Congress lady from Texas who stood up in front of Congress that celebrated the War on Poverty 50th anniversary and made statements like we have more poverty in this nation than any other country on the planet. That is not true. Percentage-wise, we have less poverty than India, China, any of these big countries that everybody keeps seeing as emerging countries. And sure enough, she's never gone to Ethiopia, has she? This is the left-side rhetoric, and that's all it is. But this war on poverty has been a failure. It has destroyed minority families. It has disabled more people in our society, turned them into industrial, uneducated invalids, incapable of getting a job, because right now, again, people on the left don't want to pay attention to the true statistics. There are 4 million unfilled jobs in the United States right now because we can't find the people who are qualified. These are high-paying, instant overnight into-the-middle-class jobs if you could land one of these jobs. These are jobs that pay $55,000 to $85,000 a year. There's 4 million of them, and there's not enough people in the people who benefited by the war on poverty to even be qualified to even get low-level jobs in this country. And it's and this war on poverty is a lie. It's terminology. It was really the war against the poor is what it was, to make more of them for voting blocks. That's what it really was.
Absolutely.
It was a campaign fund for the left.
Hold on. 4330614, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I don't have a lot of time, and I have a lot of stuff to say about Christie and the war on poverty, but strangely enough, the thing that lit a fire under my butt to pick up the phone and call was the Debbie Wasserman Schultz conversation. I have to defend my friend Jeff on that because I had the same mind frame, and I was stupid enough to put it on my Facebook saying that she's not that bad looking. I haven't been able to live that down for 3 weeks.
And they called me
blind.
Personally,
on Facebook, none of it. There was a guy who put a picture on my wall of Nancy Pelosi in a pantsuit, but it was photoshopped with her to have a big chest. And he said, here's some more porn for you, Matt. Okay? So, Jeff, I feel you. I'm defending you. And next week I'm going to call in and give my lowdown on the Christie stuff.
You got it. We'll be back here on Monday doing the same thing. 438, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy. Oh, my God. We're going to talk about money now. I'm sorry. I look at the rant of Jeff. I disagree completely. We just have to go to the website, inequality.org. And I think one time you did show what I was talking about. We are the country that has the biggest inequality between the rich and the poor, and it's getting wider and wider, and it's not
yep.
working. For a lot of people. It's not working for a lot of people. I do not agree what he said. It's not because there's greedy people. I'm sorry to say it is. Because
there's greedy people everywhere, Stanley. Let me finish. Why are you still here, Stanley?
Let me finish what I have to say. By the way, I'm going to make a point why I'm seeing greedy people have it more fair. Did anybody in Wall Street who basically was responsible for crashing our system in 2008 went to prison? Anyone?
Yeah, Martha Stewart.
Anyway.
But a contributor.
Did anyone get arrested? No. None of them. If I would have done that, they would have come and blown up the whole place to get me arrested.
Stanley, we bailed out the guilty parties. So how are you going to send them to jail when you gave them money?
There's many judges that said, well, how come nobody in Wall Street got arrested? Many judges are saying that in the United States. Many judges said they should have been arrested. They should have been put in prison for what they did. None of them did. And that's the difference between me and them. That's the difference between any middle class and them. If I would have done the same fraud of them, I would have been in jail in two seconds. And that's the difference.
Family. Jeff, now listen.
Uh-huh.
He makes a good point.
Hold on.
Because when you look at Wolf, the new movie, that's coming out, I think, The Wolf of Wall Street. Okay.
Oh, that's another movie you could laugh about.
When you look at what people have done that have means.
Okay.
And you look at how the conversation of inequality of income and inequality of justice is two separate conversations. Those guys in Wall Street, they do some dirty low stuff.
No doubt.
Even if you look at how they got slapped on the wrist with behind the Bernie Madoff thing in the SEC this past week, and I think maybe Mark can speak a little bit more to that because I don't know the definitions of what all happened. But I do know if I go out and do the same thing, the severity of how they're going to take me and the severity of it that they give them for their Wall Street crimes are two different things. And that's really sad. That makes it that it's just not fair. But then life is not fair, and we need to understand that. And I agree with you, but Stanley, when I talk about the inequality of the rich and the poor in America, my problem what I'm trying to say to you is, we scream and holler about inequality, and while they spit out hot air, how they're going to fix the problem of the inequality with another war on poverty, all they do is spread money around. Charge you $7,000 for a sign and put the money in other people's pocket, and we become a commodity instead of that money actually coming into our community where it has a multiplying factor. The problem that happens with most people in America, when money comes into the community, it comes into the community without a multiplying factor that actually touches the lives and hearts of the people who are in that community. And that continues to breed more and more poverty. Because they're not trying to get you out of it. All they're trying to do is put a Band-Aid on it. And we need to wake up and find out the Band-Aids that they're putting on it are infected. That's how you can have a war on poverty 50 years ago, celebrate the anniversary this week, and still have the same, if not worse, numbers today.
It's worse. It's worse.
And That's the issue.
And we spent $15 trillion in the process to accomplish. I don't want to say nothing because it has opened up the doors a lot, I think, to a lot of folks, some of those programs.
Was it worth it, though?
But the end result, the poor are always going to be here. It's been that way
for... No, they're not. If you take the poor and everything and change their mindset and stop having everybody go for job is the worst thing you could ever do to get out of poverty, period. You're depending on another person to control your livelihood. You're depending. Yes, you are. Because if you have a job and tomorrow you be working 20 years or 30 years, you could get off of your job. Your boss is going to fire you. If he has a choice between firing you, and keeping the money,
I gotta learn something. And the problem is the work ethic of owning a company is far stronger than a person that goes to a job.
Yeah.
Because ownership is ownership, and you got to own it, buy it, sleep it, dream it, wake it. And if you're sick on your back, you show up at work anyhow.
Yeah,
and
I agree with you.
People that couldn't even manage their own life.
That's the problem.
Hold on, Stanley. I think that was not so blind, Mike, and I think South Carolina wanted to say something, too.
All I wanted to just say was, Stanley, I'm sorry. We have free education in this country. A lot of the people in poverty are uneducated by choice because they chose not to go to school for whatever reason. You're going to then give them a company to run when they can't even run their own lives?
Free education? Really? We don't have free education here.
You too, Stanley. We have free education in this country.
Free education.
Mike, you need to clarify free education and poor people don't want to learn.
You can go from kindergarten in New York City, you can go to kindergarten all the way to a bachelor degree and not pay one penny for your education.
Oh, come on, the public
school. What? Come on! We don't have free education in New York. Are you crazy?
Mike, we can all go to school from 0 to 40 for free. But that doesn't mean I get an education.
Well, you know, there's some part of it that's personal responsibility. There were people who never got past second year of high school, dropped out, and went on to become brilliant at what they do.
Mike, and this is what irritates me the heck out about it when you speak about stuff like this. You can send a child into an environment and call it a school, but still not give them an education.
It doesn't matter. Then it's the individual's job to say, I need this.
No, that's not true, Mike.
You've never been to a public school, Mike.
Underfunded. I was a child at risk. I was in a public school system that couldn't even teach me Braille as a blind person.
Personal responsibility
counts for more than circumstances.
Well,
look at your own lives.
I want to take up for Michael Hicks one.
Stop. Too many words. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm coming to everybody. I promise everybody's going to come in the next 15 minutes. So y'all all going to get to step in on this one. But I'm going to say this. Mike, you are unusual. But education is more than sending a person into a classroom and telling them to read a book.
Thank you.
And there's more to it than that. And you got to realize two or three bad teachers can slam you up against the wall. There has to be an environment for academic stimulation. If they don't have that, all you have is a bunch of books in the room.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to be able to appreciate, and somebody has to acknowledge that education is a tool for success. And there's social issues that come with that. I'm going to go down the line. Hold on, Annie.
Yes, ma'am.
My caller out of, is it New York? No, Philadelphia.
Which number?
Baltimore.
You're up.
Oh, yes, Mike. Yes. Well, he made some comments. Well, first of all, he said that a lot of people can't manage themselves, let alone manage a business, but a lot of people can manage a business and they can't manage their personal lives. So it can go both ways by that. But see, one thing you have to realize, and she is correct. See, education, you have all the education, but you may not be a job creator. People in these at the stock market on Wall Street can mess up the economy, and you can lose your job. There's a lot of people who have college degrees who are out of work because of those Wall Street people.
There's not that
who
many.
Got away with crime. Just like J.P. Morgan this week, they're criminals, right? But just because, and I understand we define a corporation as a person, but that's the reason why they got away with it. And only one man went to jail. And actually, that banking system, their decision making messed up was one of the reasons why the economic system was collapsed. But they didn't do any jail time or nothing. But all of the stockholders had to pay the fines. They didn't pay anything. So that's how you want to look at it.
Hold on. Go ahead, Diva.
I just
want
to say that. I just want to say that Nasa Blomike is correct. I mean, when it comes to education, you could be in the poorest system, but it does come down to personal responsibility. I mean, there's plenty of us who went to poor public schools and came out just fine. And then after school, whether you can afford college or not, there's just too many resources out here to where you can self-educate yourself. That's all I have to say.
Can I say something?
Hold on, Annie. South Carolina, your mic is on.
Okay, Tracy, you know, Mike is correct. I mean, if you're within a certain income level here in South Carolina, you can go to school basically free. The only thing that's not covered is your books. And you know, that's what almost like $500 a year. But if you go into the technical college systems, in South Carolina, which all the colleges and the state colleges like Clemson, University of South Carolina State, Charleston, Winthrop, any of those states in the state of South Carolina have to take that technical degree, all those credits. So you essentially walk out of school, technical school, with an associate's degree. And in the case of a needed employer or a needed feel right now, nursing, you're going to go to nursing school, get your RN, basically for free, and go become a nurse making $40,000, $50,000 a year right off the bat. So to say that education, you know, doesn't help you get out of poverty.
Can I say something to you? That's not what I said. That's not what I said. So let's just get the peanut butter jelly sandwich and get it back right. That's not what Stanley and I, we were talking about what was going on here. As I'm saying is, right now we have a problem that children in the third grade can't read. If you don't learn how to read by the third grade, you can't read to learn by the fourth grade.
Well,
so the free education that you're
getting,
South Carolina. So the free education that
I
you're getting from
that,
zero to three, or zero to ten. Means absolutely nothing unless you give me the fundamental basics that I need from learning how to read.
But here's the thing, you know, everybody wants to blame the school system. My wife's a teacher, and trust me, you should see the frustration that she has to deal with dealing within the school system because of the simple fact that you've got these bad behind children that do not receive any discipline, and you got these sorry but politicians that refuse to do anything about it. You know, I mean, they give the kids more rights than the teachers. The child can sit in class and say whatever the heck they want, disrupt class, and ruin anywhere from 45 to an hour time of instruction time, and they expect the kids to be successful. They socially promote these kids, you know. So if a teacher says a child has failed the third grade or the second grade or the first grade, the parent can go in there and raise hell. And the principal of the school board says you got to promote them.
So again,
the lowest grade they'll give you is a 50. Come on now.
Well,
you can't blame the
teacher.
I'm going to call everybody out because I got too many folks, too many lines on. I just wanted to address it because the issue was about free education.
And he's correct. He was absolutely correct.
You can get a free education if you can get the free education.
You
if you don't learn how to read with the free education,
yeah.
You go from Head Start the first, second, and third grade, and you still can't read.
Agreed.
And
that's
still free.
That's where the issue. That's where the issue is, because in New York, you can go from preschool to 4-year college free if you're in a certain thing grade. But what is the problem is your system is so jacked because it's not set up to teach. You can't do a one size fit all for multiple situations, and that's where the problem of education is in
wow.
America.
Wow! I can't believe this. I'm agreeing with Jeff for the first time.
Yeah, but
oh my God! I'm agreeing with Jeff.
Yeah, because I'm pragmatic, Stanley. I'm not.
Oh my God!
I'm not an ideologue.
It's about to be 85 degrees outside. Pigs gonna start flying, and hell about to freeze over.
It already did. Hold on, 330-540. Your mic is on.
Thank you, Tracy. This is Bob from Youngstown.
Hi, Bob.
Tracy, a couple of things that, as I sit here and listen, I get so frustrated. First of all, I hope Stanley doesn't start his rants again right now. Let me have a moment to speak my piece. Part of the problem that we're facing right now with the education system is the stranglehold that the national NEO has on our education system. The entire board of directors has been run by liberals and revisionists probably since the late 1960s, if not earlier. What we're resulting in today is an entire school system that is built to dumb down America. My wife is a retired school teacher, spent 30 years with 7th and 8th grade kids. The gentleman that was just speaking, his wife is currently a school teacher. The problem in our schools today is the real good teachers would walk away from the NEO in a heartbeat if they could, but the stranglehold that the union has on them means that they have to be union members, even whether they want to be or not. And as such, they are restricted by the rules set up by the NEO and the school administrations. And all of those are controlled and or part of our political system. And now that's the statement on that. The other statement I want to make is we're railing on this thing about Wall Street and how crooked it is. I do not disagree that there aren't some thieves, liars, and whatever else that have been involved in Wall Street. But the only reason that they are allowed to operate with impunity, with the exception of a few scapegoats like Maddox that they just threw under the bus, is the politicians. Do you realize that nothing happens in any business in this country if it hasn't already been legislated? One example, Al Gore, former Vice President of the United States, when he went in because of some of the money that his father and his family had earned, he went in as a multimillionaire into the, whatever he was, a congressman or a senator, I forget, ended up being a vice president. Today, the man is a multibillionaire because the 535 people, congressmen and senators that are running our lives for us, know ahead of time, sometimes 2 and 3 years, if they make a law, how it's going to impact that particular industry, and they, with their masks over their heads, supposedly not allowed to trade in the economic systems, they have people that are masks for them that go out and either sell stock or buy stock, knowing damn well that the law that's going to go through next year is going to impact that industry either positively or negatively, and that's why most of them go in there as poor as dirt farmers like us that are out here working and paying for a living, and when they leave office, they're multimillionaires or, in like Al Gore's situation, billionaires. They have manipulated the system against us, the working people. It is time for us to take up arms and take our country back, politically, economically, and spiritually. I'm done with my rant. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was good.
That was good.
Mark, hold on. I think Annie wanted to jump in. Go ahead, Annie.
I just want to say that if people think that America is still the land of opportunity, they haven't been opening their eyes because it's not.
But it is. No. It is.
Maybe compared to India, China, and Ethiopia.
No. We'll come back to that after I come back to my
break. Any country, man.
It is. No. We are still the land of opportunity. The question is
exactly.
The question is, do you have the wherewithal to create the opportunity that you want? And what we're doing is we're making it more difficult, but you still can make it if you choose. You still have opportunity if you choose, but it's not going to go the same way as our parents and your grandparents.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
No, no.
But the thing is, the reason why, once again, is the government is trying to make this the land of equal outcomes, and it's not going to work that way. It's impossible for it to work that way. And so that's where you're bringing yourself to a very, you cut me off, oh, very bad situation.
My generation.
Well, equal outcomes and equal opportunity is different. When you say equal opportunity and different outcomes, that's totally different. But he's right. 40% of Congress is are millionaires. But he's right. The problem is there's too many different curriculums running our children. Us adults cannot decide which curriculum to teach these children of this nation. We have not just the federal government trying to control a curriculum. It has the universities who tell the high schools what to teach the kids. Then the teachers decide what books, and then the parent teachers meeting argue over what books should be ordered.
Too many
different entities control, even the media control the way we treat our kids, and we don't agree on the curriculum, even the curriculum when it comes to history, on how we're supposed to teach that.
626, your mic is in, and then I'm going to pull up Mark in studio.
Yeah, we'll call you a man. I wanted to add this. When you guys have mentioned the war on poverty earlier, like this one I picked up the phone and called in, that I think that the problem with the war on poverty, which was the solution, and how they looked at it, the solution should be to give money to single mothers and to fund that whole single mother industrial complex as if that was going to solve the problem of poverty. When the problem of poverty in the inner cities around where you live and where I live is white supremacy. That's the problem. That's the problem with poverty in the black community. It wasn't the lack of money given to single mothers. And just like it's, their solution is similar to how they set up the educational system, what you guys were talking about earlier, the miseducation of the Negroes, and the way that they try to do it is they want to turn students into patients, into clients, into inmates, and that's not the solution. They're the problem, and that problem is and always has been white supremacy, and I thank you for letting me in your bubble.
Tracy, can I say something?
No, I'm taking my break. You guys talk off there.
Okay. I have to say something. I feel like...
Hey, guys,
in my
the green room?
Yeah, we're in the green room. In my eyes, I feel
why
the education system...
Why do they call Harvard a democratic school, Stanley?
Well, I have no idea.
Because it's politics, and they still do that, see? Because they say the professors... See, when you talk about curriculum, you even have to go, if you look up curriculum, it's how someone presents the information to you. So you can have a teacher in front of you, and he can have information, but he may convey it on a Democratic or Republican idea. That's what they say they do. Even when
I agree with what you're saying, but the biggest picture that I see when it comes to education, we're basically forming people to not think. We're forming people to basically work and become slave of working. That's it. We're basically forming kids to go to school, basically form them in everything and be all gullible, whatever, and take out all their creativity, all their insight, all this, this and that, and follow the test, follow this, follow that, and then you come out of school and everything, and you have no creativity, and you got to go get a job, and you just have to follow what you have to say. And the rest of your life, you're going to be a slave. Period.
You've obviously never been an employer. People are ready for a job today. You've never been an employer.
What's the brother's name? Of Arthur Stanley.
Here's the thing that I see. It is not the education system's job to prepare our children for the world. that as a parent. The basics that they can do is provide them with a structured learning setting. But the work of a parent never stops. If your child is in third grade and they can't read, guess what? I'm not faulting that school system. I'm faulting mommy or daddy or whoever is at home. Because how is it that your child is struggling in school and can't read and you're sitting there doing nothing about it?
But Diva, when I hear people like that, you've been saying the same thing, Diva. And I don't mean no harm. When I hear people talk about this as escape, they always want to put it in developing a child, right? They always want to shift and blame people. It's the parent. It's totally the parent's fault why the kid's not learning.
I'm sorry. I don't get it. My daughter struggles. I don't get it. I understand. It's both sides.
It should be a partnership between both. Because
yes,
I'm not
we
the
are
only
putting
one
too
that
much
of
the responsibility on the education system, and that's not
but
fair.
Diva,
I'm the only one. Just because
I'm
the only
one, education is one-sided.
Just because I'm the father of my kids, I'm not the only one that's going to raise my children in this world.
I'm going to say this about
that's
the education
fair.
System, because I've worked from the Head Start side of it. Like I said, my wife's a teacher, but here's the problem: the teacher cannot teach if the child is disrupting the class, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be something done about these badass kids in these classrooms. There's no other way to put it. There's something.
Wait, hold on. Let me finish, man.
Let me finish here. I have seen it with Head Start. I can tell from the beginning which children are going to be successful by the participation level of the parent. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If the parent don't give a damn and come to school and do something about their kid's behavior, then the teacher's not going to be able to do anything with it. Okay? So do not blame the school system for bad-ass kids. We just got a video on here with these parents teaching these kids, promoting the kids, and encouraging the kids to use thuggish language.
Can I come with a comment what you're saying? I disagree with what you're saying because you could take those badass kids and bring them as another teacher or somebody who finds a way to teach them that he learned.
Wait, can I just make that point?
And then I'll let you talk, Diva, or anybody. Because I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. Because I have seen badass kids, and there have been great teachers that took them personally. And those badass kids became great adults, great people later in life. And you came back and said, you know what, I was one of those badass kids. The way you make it sound is like those badass kids can never change. I'm sorry, they can't. Depends on the influence of the teacher. Depends on this. I would tell your wife, did you do whatever you need to do? There's a lot of teachers that are great teachers.
I got my degree to go to school, but I got to manage your badass child. That's not my job, my responsibility.
It doesn't mean because you have a degree that means you're a great teacher, Diva. It's only going to take me 30 seconds. I just want to say something. See, man. Your attitude, I understand what you're saying. You're right, and I'm not putting it down. But if you're a teacher and you know that you're working at that school in that community, you saying that you all know all the facts that they're already going to come, you already prejudging them, they're going to go coming crazy, not going to be attentive. Since you know that fact, since you're educated and you got your degrees, and we were talking about creativity, what creative ways is you and an adult that you know that, you're dealing with that, what creative ways that you're going to get to make that education entertaining so they can get your attention?
Hold on. That's not the truth. What's wrong with the kids today? They want to be entertained. Why is it the parent getting a badass child in check?
Hold up.
Why is that parent wanting to be bad as hell?
Diva,
do a striptease. That'll hold their attention, baby.
You already preconceived the community.
No, it ain't about preconceiving nothing.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes,
you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes
Man, be real. When a teacher takes a job, she knows what environment and what neighborhood, what type of teachers they schooled on. You already know what the hell. And just like what you're saying, what I'm saying is I never taken nothing from the pun. Never will. But I'm saying if you're in the educator, if you know these things, don't look at them and say they bad-ass fucking kids. And I'm saying that's
exactly.
The wrong
thank
attitude.
Thank you.
You
watch your mouth. Thank you.
Look at them kids
thank
like
you.
That. That's the wrong-ass attitude.
And then nobody should be
like
a police officer because
out.
You don't know you
because
have to deal with criminals.
You, but you got a bad child and a parent who don't want to work with you, and a parent's
no.
Gonna cuss you out for trying to do something
no,
with their
no,
kids.
It's you.
Parents,
it's you. You
got
to find a way.
You
got to find a way.
You don't have any.
You got to find a way, Diva. You got to find a way. It's your responsibility to do it.
Reality.
You
got
to find a way, Diva.
And you got parents who don't care and want to leave it up to the teacher.
Attitude, Diva. How are we gonna mend things together? Call them bad-ass kids. You looking at them like that? That's not how it. That's not how we're gonna do it. And a lot of people, and a lot of people.
Now you want to be
stagnated. That's why we're stagnated because you cannot look at them when you go in there. You know what I mean. If you know what you're dealing with, you should have prepare and get there. If a child's looking out the window, what are you going to do and say, well, what's the worry? Why doesn't he have the sense?
They don't give you no training on how to deal with that kid. You're going to school to educate. You're not going to school to discipline. You're not going to school to be some type of militant advisor or anything. You're going to school to be an educator.
You're competing with the internet and games with other intelligence fans. What are you going
to
do?
No. Hey, listen to me.
As a teacher.
What do you do? What is the teacher supposed to do when you got a little kid that comes in class and is MF this, I ain't got to listen to what you say. My mama told me I don't have to do what you say.
Well, maybe
anyway.
It's for you as a teacher to find a way to communicate with the kid. Maybe the first thing, maybe the kid is revolting against you. Well, it's your way. I'm sorry, who's responsible for the education you are? It's your responsibility as a teacher to find a way.
I'd be in jail because somebody said talk to me like that and their mama and daddy don't want to do nothing. I'd be in jail because I put my foot in their butt.
Well, in that case, you're not a great teacher. You're not a great teacher. You're not a great teacher. I'm sorry, you're not.
Go to school to do that because that's my gift.
Before the child said the curse word, what happened? Before the child said the curse word, what happened, sir? So if you're going about what he did,
I'm going to give you a specific situation. Okay?
No problem.
Right? The teacher asked the child, where was your homework? I ain't doing no math at home. My mama said I don't have to do no homework. Okay?
Okay.
Now, I'll give you an example without going into detail. If a child is diagnosed with ADHD, and that
good
parent
day.
Does not
the conversation that was
medicine.
Going on prior to the break, I had to take a break because if I didn't take a break, I would have had a bad woo-saw moment. Because war on poverty, and the white supremacy, it does work hand in hand. It really does. But not in the way that you want to hear it. You can't make that excuse every time something goes on. The war on poverty was not to free you. It was to bind you and to control you. And LBJ made sure, hold on, Stanley, and LBJ made sure that the war on poverty kept you where you were and did not allow you to gain the momentum that you needed to overthrow where you needed to go.
Understand that Lyndon Johnson was not the great liberal embracer that people think he was. Really, up until the time that he became president, this guy was a wow.
He wasn't an inclusionist. He did not think that you deserved even to eat, sit down with him and eat. He was a racist. And that's a racist right there. That's not a prejudiced person. He knew who you were. He studied who you were. He wasn't ignorant about who you were. He was a racist. He said that you were inferior to him because of your race, and you will never become me.
And everybody knew it. You know, there was a parody a record out back then called The First Family, and it was made by a gentleman named Vaughn Meader. And they had a bit in it, and they would have when President Johnson, after President Johnson became president, they did a bit, and the bit went something like this: Negra, no Negro, Negra, no Negro.
I'm gonna play it.
Do you have that?
Absolutely.
Okay, play it.
I'm going to play it.
That's pretty much sums it up for you.
You need to know, and so when we talk about war on poverty, and we keep on having these wars on poverty, and we keep on talking about this, then we have, they don't, we keep getting sucked into this race, color, who I am, who you're not, what we are, where we're not, where we can go, where we can't go. I can't dream. Yes, I can go, and no, I can't. Obstacles are here to make you strong. Obstacles work in your favor.
You've got that up there.
Obstacles work in your favor. What we've done is we've taken these obstacles and made them crutches. And they've given us the band-aids. They've given us all of the tools to make it a crutch and not make it an obstacle that you overcome, tear down, burn down, and or go through. And we need to cut that out. Because it's killing us.
Absolutely.
If you're gonna give me $1 million in a program, don't give me $1 million $1 a day. Give me a substantial amount so that I can invest it to grow. If you're gonna help me out, give me an education system where my children will go in and have the opportunity to learn. Don't try to give me these piecemeal ideas based upon nothing, and I still walk around and I cannot read. Yes, you can get a free education, but you don't learn anything while you're getting it, which is just stupid. You're wasting time. How are we still funding Head Start programs but still don't have enough children reading by the third grade? Does that make sense? Yeah, you got power poverty zones now, but heck, we got power poverty zones, but you didn't go out and find the most impoverished area that has a way of growth. Well, it's because they had shovel-ready projects. The last time I heard shovel-ready projects, they were shoveling doo-doo talking about transparency.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
269, your mic is on.
Michigan man.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hi.
Ain't nobody in the chat room?
Oh, they're all there.
No, we're here. Yeah, again, I think we're mixing up white nationalism with racism. And you keep doing it, Tracy. Most of what white people are doing falls under white nationalism, and there's nothing wrong with that. What's the problem with that?
White nationalism?
You don't find a problem with white nationalism?
Yeah, that sounds funny, don't it? But that's exactly what it is.
Matt, may I interject this?
No, ask a question first.
Yeah,
I need to know.
What
the hell is white
nationalism? White?
Thank you, Stanley.
What the hell is white nationalism?
Would you want me to explain?
Yeah, Stanley, I appreciate that one.
It's racism.
White nationalism. In a nutshell.
No, I want him to give me.
A cultural system that is ran and controlled by white people, which would include all of your institutions and the purpose for all of those institutions. Now, what part of that don't you understand? And what institutions?
Wait. So you're saying that we have a situation as black people because.
What'd you say?
Go ahead, say that again.
Okay. You are saying that the situation we have as black people is because white people are controlling the whole system and us black people can't do nothing about it because of them?
I didn't say you couldn't do anything, but the first part of your question is correct. That is exactly what's supposed to happen in a race-based society.
And I disagree. I think black people need to take more responsibility and stick together and help when a black man is doing a business and help him out instead of dogging man out.
What historical data or scientific data are you using to disagree?
I'm using the fact that as a black man, I have more white people supporting my business than black people trying to destroy it. I'm going to my own business. No, I'm telling you, as a black man, I have more white people take money of their own money and think we believe what you're doing than black people. You're educated, Stanley. You should give it to us for free. No, no, I'm telling you as a black man. I'm telling you the experience that I'm having as a black man. I go through the same business, the same thing.
That's called the exception and not the norm.
There's no exception. That's not an exception. Trust me. Black people come to me very...
Ask Stanley, I'm taking up for you today. That ain't no exception.
That's not an exception. That's a rule.
If you're a black person in business and you waiting for black folks to help you stay in business, you're going to be a black out of business.
Out of business.
Black
business.
That's
exactly.
The thing. You're correcting that, Tricker. That's two separate things. I said what Stanley's explanation is an exception. What you said.
It's not an exception. It makes a difference. It's not an exception. It makes a difference. If as a black man you open a business and no black people are supporting you and it's only the white people are supporting you, what the hell are you supposed to do? Close the business?
What are you talking about, man?
Hold on, Stanley. Michigan band. Let me try to clarify something here. All he's saying really is this, is that because the majority of people in the United States are white people culture is what prevails in this country. And they're not doing it just to hurt you. They're doing
because
that's who they are. And so my point is this. He's very correct in that. What happens here is we have to learn to adapt in it, and when we adapt in it, many times our own people reject us and call us toms, this, that, and the other, when that's not what's going on. And here's the other thing.
How do people adapt when they don't even believe what you just said?
Let him get it out and let you come back and build on it. We adapt. We have done it over these decades that we've been somewhat free in America, in that we have learned how to do business here in America. We've learned how to speak English here in America. We've learned how to do a lot of things here that is not what our native culture is. And so, therefore, we have adapted to Western European thought and Western European ways of doing things. And so, therefore, when you talk about going a little bit off of that mark, people kind of try to mark you up with it, and either you're a radical then you're this, that, and other. But here's the thing. We have to learn how to stand our own ground because, don't forget, in 1965, we had black businesses, multitudes of them. And then right after that, when we had the right to go buy from the white man a mall, that's what we did, and we destroyed our own neighborhoods. So it's not white supremacy that did it. It was our stupidity that did it at the time. And the thing is, go ahead.
Go ahead,
Jeff. I can't believe I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying. And I'm a perfect example. I'm telling you, as a black man, I have more white people. I'm a black man who has a business.
Let me just make a point, and I want you to listen.
And I'm making a point. As a black man who has a business, there's a difference when I go to see white clients and black clients. White clients will not come to me and say, "We want it for free." Black clients will come to me and say, "Man, you know your brother, you should give us for free, blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, are you for real?
I know a lot of brothers that have that business. They don't come for nothing for free.
I have more white people helping all of my business than black people.
Stanley, wait a minute. Hey, Baltimore. That's because you and Prince George County.
Yeah, where everybody got money.
You're in a different mindset.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah?
Can you all do me a favor?
What?
Can one of you guys find one white, predominantly white, public school that is failing? I said one predominantly white public school that is
failing. I came from
one.
Which one?
McDonald.
They're not failing.
No, they're not failing.
They weren't doing very well, and it was because it wasn't that because. Right.
Wilkie High School,
not academically.
Oh, right, that's what he means.
Right, our national average, how our math scores, is just not on African-American students. That includes Caucasian. This country is 70% Caucasian, factually. So you just can't say it's all African-Americans that don't know how
so
to do math.
So when you
let me say it this way. Hold on. Michigan, man. Let me say it this way. Let me redefine this. We need to take ownership. Michigan, I agree with the school system in which its school districts in most predominantly black areas are failing. That is absolutely true. But look at how we have conditioned ourselves that education is not a platform for wealth. See, and if you look at Ben Carson and his Ben Carson story, if you look at our grandparents and our parents, they may or may not have had an education. But they had an affinity for education that even if they did not know how to read, they were going to make sure that we learned how to read and that we were going to be respectful and that we were going to have a desire to learn. Somehow during this war on poverty, we no longer want to read. We just want to dance and play ball. Period. Now, you can quite call that white supremacy. You can call that, you know, white nationalism. You can call it whatever it is. The problem is we put down what we knew to pick up something that we did not know to become someone that we should not have become.
Well,
now
you have to look
true.
At all factors. Do you ever look at the drug factor in our community? That's just one. I'm not chitting. I'm just
now,
putting
right.
in that, but there's many reasons. And
yeah, I mean,
just
you're
want to
right.
say this, and I'll be quiet because I don't mean no harm. A lot of people might not say this. See, all of us in this country, all colors, all races, the people that are in the low-income communities, all of us in this America is responsible for it. And it's going to take all of us to get it out. When I hear people talking about the quote-unquote black community, they say, listen, 98% of our money comes from government or, quote-unquote, another white corporation. So even when we talk about passing laws, you're dealing with other people. We all have to be responsible for it. That's just the way I look at it. And I hear that everyone wants to blame it, even on the, quote-unquote, black side. They say we have to do it by yourself. No, you can't, because you have to deal with other people. Laws have to be passed. Bills have to be worked out. And certain
I'm not saying
give money away. I never said that, but I guarantee in every – listen, I'm a business owner. I'm still going to have to deal with the government, my taxes, regulations, even as a black business owner. And then I may not manufacture something. My supplies, 90% of my supplies is coming from a foreigner or someone who doesn't have my skin color, if we want to talk about that. So I'm already know that I can't do everything by myself. That's what I'm saying. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I'm of this mindset that at one time we did do it by ourselves, and we traded with ourselves at least 3 or 4 to 5 times before the money left our neighborhoods, and we maintained. Didn't say that we gained great gains. There is a thing called racism and systemic racism that is against us climbing. But at the same time, we can't keep continuing to do bad practices and expect that we're going to get around those obstacles. So when
For the most part, that we call bad practices for blacks is done out of ignorance. And the primary ignorance is that they do not know that they live in a race-based white nationalist culture.
I realize that because
there.
They vote for them every single time they go vote. And see, that's the thing. There's hope for the people to put their foot on their neck every time.
We're not going to get rid of them, though, but we have ownership of
the
land.
And then turn around and blame them. That's disingenuous.
No, that's not what I did.
Listen, South Carolina.
No, I didn't say you did that.
Huh? This is the issue. Let me say it this way. until we actually take responsibility for our own lifestyles, our own education, our own families, it is imperative that we take responsibility, because I'm not going to be controlled by what other people think about me.
Right.
And it may take me longer. I may have to work harder, but I cannot allow what you do to me for me to hold me back. Right now, I just need a man who's going to love me for me, be honest to me, cover me, respect me, and allow me to do the same for him. Raise a family and then take those children and produce them after what we believe and what we stand for.
You need a hug.
Right now, but right now, all I'm doing is having babies with no daddies. And the last thing, what you want to know is wrong with our society, it is the amoral society of we have children but that don't have parents. And this is not a black thing. This is not a white thing. This is a thing.
Right.
But it's all over the place.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that. Exactly.
A byproduct.
Right.
A byproduct.
Because there's
and
many
what I'm
people in single-parent homes. Is this not because someone's in jail or dead? There's many
right.
reasons for single-parent homes.
There's
many
reasons.
Reasons.
Hold on.
Just paying your child support doesn't mean you're taking care of your child. Just because you're paying
That's
your child support don't mean you're taking care of your child.
I'm looking for fathers. I'm looking for people who nurture the seed in which they produce.
Right.
And that issue, and you're right, Tracy, and I want to make a comment about that. This is a non-racial issue. There was a statistic that I came across the other day. It was on the radio, and I was kind of floored by it. But they said 40% of all white males, 40% of all white males are arrested before the age of 23 for non-traffic activities. So these are traffic things. These are other things. Within the, you know, within the white population, it's high. Within the black population, it's higher. But that's still a phenomenal amount of folks, males, who are coming out with I don't know what kind of attitude they view life as. We can't go on that way or we're in trouble.
And this is what happened. And I've got a friend, and I've got to have him on here one day. We're going to talk about reentry. See, you got a problem with all these people because every time they go in the penal system, which is supposed to be a rehabilitation system, which is not, they come out with a record. And that most of them are not educated. They can't get work. They can't get jobs. They can't cut hair. These are all problems. They're making babies. And now we got angel trees where we're trying to raise money to give their kid a Christmas present because their parents are incarcerated. We got group homes, and they give them $50 on their 18th birthday and tell them, have a good life. I hope you got a good education in this free educational society. But if you're not nurtured for education, you won't go anywhere with it. And nobody wants to deal with the root of the problem. We just want to lay some icing on a cake and not care about what's inside of it. And the cake is bad. It's just pretty on the outside. And it's coming from the top down. And, yeah, we got racism, and, yeah, we got nationalism, and, yeah, we got all these issues that come in between. But, yes, I talked to a woman the other day, and as I said to her, as I will tell all of you, those of us who are of African-American descent, we need to shut the heck up about racism in America because we have no idea what it is. Go ask our grandparents. I mean, yeah, I'm going to get my feelings hurt, and, yeah, you might not like me because I'm black. But guess what? You have yet to call me the N-word and for me have to bow my head down and tie your shoe. Now, that's a mess. And we need to be honest about that.
That's not even racism. That's hatred and prejudice.
You can call
so
it hatred and prejudice. You can call it bias, bigotry. You can call
head.
It whatever you want. We're dealing with it every day, but not to the extent that our parents and grandparents did.
Well,
and we need to get up off of our butts, stand up on our own 2 feet, go get that free education, and do something with it.
Right. Well, since you're talking about group and ethnic groups, because once they pass this immigration bill, if you are a minority, and if you're trying to get some type of benefits to help you out, you better get to the front of the line because a lot of other people are going to be qualified. Now, I know they said some of them can't apply for social service, but educational benefits, I think they're going to be able to apply for. So that's what I'm saying, though.
You're
well, you
done.
Said it's too late. Well, no, well, I'm just saying. I mean, it's never too late to put out the word.
Listen, they ain't never spent $1 billion trying to get us into a position where we can actually own our own jobs. They're over in Mexico now recruiting for people to come over here for the Dream Program.
Yeah, with the black president. Black president is fomenting that program. See, that's what I get, because every time I hear him speak, all I can hear him saying to black people is, sucker, because you voted. No, there's no, well, wait a minute. You voted this guy in, and his policies are killing your community. Your community is dying quicker than everybody else. You're the third, you're the least minority now in number. You're the poorest minority on the face of the earth. So what does that tell you? You've been in America for 500 years.
Hey, I got to take a break. South Carolina, are you there?
That's a good question.
That tells you it ain't Barack Obama.
Yes, I am. Hold on, Michigan. South Carolina, I know you wanted to jump in. Before I go to break, I want you to do that.
No, I'm saying this. No matter whatever your color is, right is right and wrong is wrong, and you cannot hang on to saying
here we go.
What is wrong is right and be happy. It's not going to happen.
Hey, I'll be right back.
The principles,
that's so romper room. That's a romper room.
You can say it's romper room all you want to. It's fact.
You can't say what you call right. The next person may not call right.
Well, no.
Obama
sat
down with Univision. He didn't sit down with us. Did she have a commercial? That's what I wanted to say.
So he sat down with who?
See, during the political process, he sat down with Univision. He sat down with the Hispanic community.
Yeah,
he didn't ever sit down with us. He stood up. Right, exactly. He didn't sit. Look, he didn't, when he went to the NAACP and the National Urban League, he stood up and talked to us at a podium. He didn't sit down and answer questions direct from the community.
You know why
See?
He didn't, brother?
And I said,
you know why he didn't?
And I said, you know, I said I couldn't vote for him. I couldn't vote for him. Listen, brothers, I wrote the polls in 08 for him, but see, I try to look at things objectively, and I was watching everything and listening, and I said, no, I couldn't vote for none of them, so I just voted on the state level in 2012. I couldn't do it.
You know why? Because you have no black community. Define it. Define the black community.
He defined it. You have no organized economic system.
You have no organized political system, and you have no organized social system.
No.
So
where
is this black community?
Look. I agree with you. Listen, I want to say quote unquote because really I'm speaking most people's language. I really don't like to speak it, but the quote unquote the reason the people that I'm describing to you, and you're correct. Because there's no way that you can have a central ethnic group because some people, quote-unquote, are Republicans, Democrats, Muslims, Christians. Some want to stay in America. Some want to go back to Africa. So I understand we're in total chaos and confusion. But I'm
right.
talking about that.
Right.
But
you
hold on, exactly. But I'm,
y'all mixed up.
But see, right, so we should, right, be violent, be nonviolent, put it on the ballot, have a vote,
up.
Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, we all crazy. I agree with y'all. But I was talking about, sir, hold up. When they group us in entertainment, they say according to, in by 2017, we're going to spend $1 trillion as a group of skin color who like hip-hop and all the basketball industry, $1.3 trillion per year. In far as entertainment, we have spending power as a group, right? We have voting power because it shows in those big cities, in those urban cities where they got all those people to register to vote. It took Obama over because they didn't go on congressional district, like such as Ohio, they went on population vote. So it's proven that we can be political, but we pick and choose. We pick and choose when we want to come out. That's the only thing I'm saying.
You know what nobody has been able to explain? This and show me the math, this $1 trillion spending power. Now, if you talk to any economist, the first thing you cannot do
And you cannot call government assistance wealth. So that would include EBT, food stamps, cash assistance, and all of those things. Now, if you got a certain percentage of the black community, that's their main source of income, where is this $1 trillion? You have 45% unemployment rate for black men. Where is this $1 trillion coming from?
So you're distorted.
Who's got it?
See, first of all, sir, let's speak the facts. So almost 63% of people are all, look, this is the fact, look it up. 63% of the people that are on food stamps are working. 30% are on disability or Social Security disability, or they're retired. The rest of the 7 or 8%, yes, you agree, they're probably selling their stamps as well, but that's a small percentage. So most of the people on rolling services are working.
But
that's
the point
fact.
I'm making, brother, if...
Oh, no, 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 hold on. Then again, everyone,
okay,
hold on, every black person doesn't live in the ghetto and on social service. We spend money. Middle class backs, and people are low middle class, but just not on that poverty. That likes things like to watch TV, entertainment. That's what I'm saying. We have money. We spend money, bro. I'm letting you, any economist would tell you that a part of any economics is the spending power of the consumer, because the consumer does choose where they want to spend their money. That's a fact.
You're not going to get no disagreement with that. That's a fact. No disagreement.
Right.
No disagreement with that. But what I, back to my original point was, this notion that blacks, in order to have spending power within a culture that means something, it has to be disposable, and then you have to control it. 90% of all black folk money, and where they get it from, come from white folks, man.
No, right, 98%. I already said that. No, it's 98, sir. Right, I agree with you. It's 98%. I agree with you.
Look how you can be manipulated when that's the fact.
Wow.
Look what strings can be pulled. Look what tails can be pulled away from up under you. Look how weak
right.
a position that puts a group in.
Right, but see, listen, our grandfathers, this is our, listen, we have every right to this country, because even though it's 70% Caucasian and most of the Congress are Caucasian, we still have right to this land, factually. Even though they took it from the Indians and all us, those sweat and tears came over here and built it, so we have every right to it, factually. That's the mindset has to be. If you don't start with that mindset, there's no even
twine. That means you're ready to create an army
that's a
and
fact.
Fight for it.
No,
that means
right,
you're ready
no,
to create an army and fight for it.
No, no, that's a fact. Well, you can do it in many ways. You don't have to fight. You can challenge on concepts. We do it all the time.
You do it
like
every question,
bro. You will lose.
Who is controlling you right now? Who is controlling you right now for where spending your money at? No one. No one is controlling me spending my dollar right now.
Let me ask you
who in the world? I'm a grown man.
If I come where you are right now, kick your ass and make you come up to where I stay and help me build my house, does that mean that's your house as well?
No, because you kicked my ass. I'm not even going to help you. What are you doing, bro? You kicked my ass.
All right. And I made you build my house. Does that mean your name should be on the deed?
I'm not going to build it right. Because I'm going to have an anger in me. You're trying to control me. We still at war because you beat my ass and make me do
it. We keep saying that because we helped build this country, our name is on the deed because of that fact.
No. I'm looking, look, forget the deeds. See, forget writing. I'm looking at the action what human beings did, because when they write stuff, we don't follow it anyway, sir. We argue over words that we pronounce, these scholars, these lawyers, they're arguing over words that they can pronounce in this crazy, ambiguous words.
I just use the word deed.
I'm talking about the word
deed,
that I
just use.
I'm talking about, no, I'm talking about,
no,
forget the words, forget the documents. I'm looking at the actual facts and labor that our grandfathers and grandmothers did, and we have owed every right to it. That's a
fact.
Make
them pay it. We'll make them pay.
That's
a fact. How do you make them
pay?
Well,
that's what King was saying. Well, that's what King was saying. He was saying, I need to go cash my check. Well,
where do we go cash that? What's the name of
the franchise? Bank? The franchise was not started off even. They labeled it as a franchise, and you know the franchise was not started off. Everybody didn't have an equal share in the franchise. You know, in the franchise, everybody have an equal share.
Where's the bank
even
at?
If I franchise the McDonald's.
Martin's check was talking about equality and freedom and self-determination. He wasn't talking about a monetary check.
No.
Those are
elusive
words
talking about, he said that they gave people land,
justice, freedom, are elusive words that have no place in a political
Right, because they're ambiguous, sir. Yeah,
you
I did a
show
on that. Right.
Somebody
it's ambiguous.
That's
exactly.
That's
exactly.
That's
because freedom says no limitations. Exactly, because if you look up the word freedom, it says no limitations. And factually, we give all each other limitations all the time. So you're exactly right,
that's
sir.
Right.
And guess what?
That's
and guess
the game.
What?
That's
we
the game.
Over
that's
all
that's
time
a part of the game.
Just like but no. But see, if you know that. But see, if you know that fact, then, sir, what did you do? You challenged them on it, sir. That's the only thing. If you knew, see, most people don't know that fact because of the right now.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on
WFAA.
I've got to go through that and find out which one I'm looking for. That that was on. It was on radio or on television, Mark?
It was a record. And Von Meter would go on the Ed Sullivan Show and do some of the bits, or he'd be on the. I don't know if it was Johnny Carson or Jack Parr back then, but he'd go and do the bits on the TV shows. But there were two albums. They play the albums on the radio, and the guy was pretty funny. You know, unfortunately, his career was cut short along with the president's life on November
in
Dallas.
Oh, he got shot with the president?
Pardon me?
Did he get shot with the president?
No, he didn't get shot, but the career was shot. That's what he did. He impersonated the president.
He couldn't impersonate the next one?
I think Lyndon Johnson was a parody of himself. You know.
Oh.
You know, when the next president came around, the country changed because then you had the Smothers Brothers. And you had the Mitchell Trio that did a lot of political humor. And
who was the guy that did all the presidents well? He died.
Oh,
Richard Pryor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was funny.
Richard Pryor, I think his name was. Was it Richard Pryor? Fry?
No, Richard Little.
David Fry.
David Fry did good. He did Nixon. David Fry
did
Nixon. Yeah.
I am not a crook.
I am not a crook.
On laughing, he
was Rich Little out there.
And Pat has a cloth Republican dress. I am not a crook.
Those guys were really, really good. Are you familiar with the Mitchell Trio, Tracy?
No.
The Chad Mitchell Trio.
No.
Actually, when Chad, it was a pretty good back in the folk singing days, and we'd all sing around, we'd all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And the Chad Mitchell Trio did a lot of political humor. And then when Chad Mitchell wanted to go off on his own, he was replaced by John Denver. And it was when you see John Denver dressed as a preppy.
Is John Denver the same one that ran into the air, that got caught Rocky Mountain High?
Yeah, that was Rocky Mountain High.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he went high up in the experimental airplane and crashed into the ocean.
Just a second.
Rocky Mountain die. That was
in
the last
a Yugo.
Those guys were good. If you wanted to pull up on your thing,
it was so politically incorrect for them to be there.
What?
Yeah, they would never make it today. None of them.
None of them would. They couldn't do their bits.
No. And everything he said about Johnson on the Von Meter album was true. That's why Von Meter was never sued, because Johnson knew if he dragged his butt into court, everything would come out then, and they could put thousands of people saying he doesn't only use the word nigra. <You know? laughs> Here's what he did to me and my family. So there are somebody
Johnson was a trip, Lyndon.
There's a recent book out that a gentleman has taken 22 years. He was a former CIA agent. He spent 22 years to write this book. He went to all the little town newspapers all through Texas, long before there was the internet. And he gathered stuff on Lyndon Johnson. You know, Lyndon Johnson's name came up in prosecutor's office as a person of interest in 9 murders in the state of Texas from 1946 to 1959. politically motivated murders, they believe?
Oh, I can believe it. Johnson was tough, man. Those southern politicians
he's a
out of Texas,
of the poor,
they didn't fool around.
How could that be? He's a friend of the poor. How could that be? A boy Richard.
Johnson didn't need anything but to have peace at home so that he could escalate the Vietnam War.
Yep.
And that's why he signed civil rights legislation, and that's why he started this fake war on poverty.
But that's just it. I mean, see,
hey,
I wonder
how many.
Go ahead, Sal.
Just like Lyndon Johnson, I wonder how many murders that our current president is going to be implicated in.
Are you kidding me? He couldn't get away with anything.
Yeah, you who, LBJ?
Barack Obama, he said our current president.
Oh, yes, he can.
Anybody remember Bruce Foster?
He just did it.
We're only supposed to accept he has a law degree from Harvard. We've never seen the transcript.
I have major – see, this is my problem, and I only got about 10 minutes before – the end of the day, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in and hanging out with us. It's a pleasure being back with you in the mornings. I prefer the mornings more than I do the afternoons, and it is a blessing to be here and to have all of you. I am really perplexed, and I'm really take issue with this. The people that know what war on poverty, how it hurt America, especially the underserved and people of color in America. They know it. Statistical data has shown how the war on poverty was a train wreck. It's like the war on drugs was a train wreck. It didn't do anything. And those of us that say we know better, we still allow them to come back and come up with poverty zones. They know better. And they know it's not going to help out the problem. And we sit on the sidelines and say and do nothing. And I just want people to wake up and say, you know what? No mas. Please. Put dreams back into our children. Make them get an education. Embrace education. You know, you can even tell how much we don't appreciate education by the game shows that we watch. You can watch Family Feud and laugh for a half an hour, and families can walk away with $20,000. But yet if you watch Jeopardy and you are the brightest person in the room, you walk away with nothing. Same thing with football. We are really going to have to, I mean, our sports, just what we focus in on.
She's right. It's not cool to be smart anymore.
Or
to be religious,
yes, family.
Or to have morals.
But, Tracy, the problem I have with the education is I feel like we're forming, like I said, we're forming people to go to school to be becoming employees. We're not forcing them to think. We're forcing them to be basically to just follow somebody, go to a job. Once you have your education, you go to a job and you follow what the boss has to say. You don't have to.
The modern day employers are having a hard time.
The modern name is not thinking.
That's what it
does. The educational system.
We want you to be
obedient.
We treat you from the beginning. We take out all your creativity, all the things that makes you special, and we just
put us on Ritalin.
Yeah, we put you on Ritalin, and we tell you have a test and you have to get an A. If you have a C or F, you're dumb. Period.
Yep. And can I add this to you?
Study, and then forget the information 5 minutes after you
exactly.
get the test.
Exactly.
We're creating voters.
Yeah.
Okay. We're creating voters. No businessman will tell you our system is giving them qualified employees. Nobody. Mm-hmm. The system isn't working for anybody except the politicians. It creates voters with short memories and no historical frame of reference to challenge anything they're told on TV.
It was never intended to not so blind. This is the thing. You have three different tiers of schools in America. You have your community college, you have your state colleges, and then you have your Ivy League.
Yeah.
And the Ivy Leagues are raised to be leaders, and the rest of them are raised to be mid managers, and the other ones are made to be employees.
But everybody's being trained to follow, and no one's being trained to think,
except the Ivy League.
That's
the Ivy League.
That's why all your leaders are Ivy Leaguers.
But they ain't always thinking.
No, that doesn't make a, that's not the point.
They're discouraging teaching people how to think. It's just
this is true. But the thing is that's the tier, because they never intended for the electorate to be that informed.
But a mess only works on an informed electorate.
That's why they have the three tiers. But they don't teach you in those tiers what they teach you in the first tier. Two and three don't matter like tier one does. Why you think Skull and Bones aren't on your state college?
They have networks. Like
now hold on, Jeff. I have to agree with Jeff.
Why do you think that Ivy League knows that if I want to make it in this world, I have to own up things? I don't have to. I'm not going to work for somebody. They know it from the beginning. They know it from the base day they're born. The parents make sure that they say you want to do things, you have to own up something. Period. Ownership is the number one thing that they teach from the beginning. We're taught, get a job. That's what we're taught.
And
if everybody can't own a business, who's going to come to your business if everybody owns a business?
Well, actually,
not everybody's going to come to your business.
Everybody's not an entrepreneur.
I'm a college student.
Some people can be a part of the team and be cohesive to the team.
I want to let Annie, I want Annie to say something, and because she's on her way out.
I'm a college student, and I hear so much buzz on entrepreneurship. I'm a freshman, and my summer required reading was a book on entrepreneurship. Like, everybody's always talking about starting your own business, and I go to a state school, so I guess maybe it's trickling down a little bit.
No, small business is small business. It's a necessity. They're still not teaching you how to do conglomerate stuff. And what I'm saying is you don't get to be in the world banking arena unless you go to a college that offers those courses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the thing is we have to start realizing that and start working around that. See, you don't necessarily have to do that to know about these things, but for you to be involved in them, you have to take part in those programs. And that's where they get you, and this is where we as Americans are being stupid here fighting on the one end, Republican, Democrat, when you see that most of the people in Congress are rich. Now, why are they rich? And, after a couple times in office, why is Barack Obama worth $1 million when he goes in, and 5 years later he's
Morgan
worth $13 million?
Because he could buy stocks and things like that and get information
No, he can't. He's not allowed to buy stocks.
But he buys it through another person, right?
Yeah, well, he's not even allowed to see it. He has to go to a blind trust.
The statistics
yes, this morning that came out, 48% of all members of Congress are millionaires. That's 48.
Okay.
That's a lot of millionaires.
Right. And the rest are Tea Partiers.
I wish I was right, though, sir. I'm sorry. I wish I was right.
Not the Tea Partiers. Trust me.
Hey, Baltimore, you're going to have to come back. Baltimore, you're going to come and hang out with us more often.
Oh, no problem. Yes. Well, probably on Friday. This is my day off, so probably on Friday,
okay.
Please.
Well, good. It's good to have you.
I'm gonna listen more. I'm just gonna listen more often, though.
That's good. We're here from 9 until noon every day now, Monday through Friday. It's good to have you sitting in with us, Mark. It's good to have you in with us on a Friday because you're usually on a Thursday.
It's always fun to come.
And it's usually me and Jeff in here and fighting. Annie, we've enjoyed having you. You know, you're welcome back when you come back for spring break.
I learned so much. I'm gonna miss you guys.
Wonderful. You learned something. What'd you learn?
I learned to keep my mouth shut when I'm around people that are smarter than me or think they're smarter than me, because I'll just get yelled at if I don't.
You got to yell right back, sweetie.
Oh, wow.
I told you guys we're rough in here.
Then you're ready to be a wife and abusive husband, then, I guess.
I just want to say I can't believe in this show. I have to say I agree a lot of things that Jeff is. It's so glad and gratifying to basically agree to some of the stuff that Jeff says. So I'm surprised.
And now I notice Stanley is really sane. Love you, Stanley.
Love you too, man.
And listen, we do appreciate all of you. We'll be back here on Monday. Mark, did you finish that whole thermos of sausage?
Yes, ma'am.
We got to talk.
Is he driving to California today?
Man, we got to talk.
That's what it would be for me. I could drive straight through the Cali.
I appreciate all of you. And not to my mic.
I was going to say, just real quick, interesting statistic. Go look it up. 3/4 of all the people attending Ivy League school, their parents are employees. High-paid employees, but they're employees, Stanley. Whoops. -1 for Stanley.
No.
They're not doing labor. They're not doing any kind of labor.
Everybody does labor. You mean manual labor. Everybody does labor if you're being paid.
Yes. I'm saying management. Management is not labor in that sense.
These are the guys dying of the coronaries at 50 years old. They're the management people who have all the stress, Jeff.
Well, listen, I love you both, but I'm going to finish my end, and I'm going to say goodbye. Whether you guys like it or not, get on the phone and the schematics of who's in labor and who's not, because I'm on the labor pool and I'm going to work.
Who's in labor?
Me.
You're having a baby?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Amen.
Having your baby.
We're going to start a pool. How, when and what's the weight?
I'm going to talk so in love, and I know.
Listen, I love you guys. I will see you on Monday. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. God bless you. Have a safe weekend through this weather. I hear it's going to be warm outside in Northeast Ohio, South Carolina. So hopefully you'll send us some of your golf weather. Not so blind, Mike. We love you.
Yeah.
Baltimore, come back again. Stanley, I hope to see you on Monday so you, Jeff and I can all agree. Wow, that's going to be different. God bless and have a good weekend.
Start knitting booties for Tracy.
I dream the world had all agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed I saw a mighty room, and the room was filled with men, and the papers they were signing said they'd never fight again. And when the papers were all signed and a million copies made, they all joined hands and bowed their heads, and grateful prayers were prayed. And the people in the streets below were dancing round.
As you try to read about myself.